Lodge, he told CNN.
The victims are the Border Patrol agents. I'm not blaming the Border Patrol agents. The victim are the Border Patrol agents. The suspect put himself in that situation.
Wrestled to the ground by five agents, a total of 10, shot in the back, and the ICE agents are the victims? We'll look at that in more detail. Meanwhile, a nightmare for Sir Keir Starmer. Andy Burnham blocked from running as an MP. His senior government minister, Steve Reid.
On this occasion, the NEC has decided against it because it would inconvenience 2 million people who only voted for their mayor 2 years ago expecting a four-year term.
But ultimately, will it be crash and burn 'em for Sir Keir? Massive change to the way our police operate, Home Secretary Shabana Mahmood.
The reforms that we are making are actually about having a model for policing in this country that is able to keep pace with the changing nature of crime.
Plus, when it comes to the bravery of our troops, King Charles I, President Trump zero. I'll explain more after the 7 o'clock news on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 7 o'clock. The Home Secretary Shabana Mahmood is to promise to make police respond quicker to 999 calls. Under sweeping new plans, forces will be required to respond to emergencies within 20 minutes. It's part of a wider overhaul, which will be outlined this afternoon. The policing minister, Sarah Jones, has told LBC the changes will improve public safety.
There are two challenges. The first is that everyday crime is going up, so whether that's phone theft, retail crime, antisocial behaviour. The second challenge is that crime is, in many cases, more sophisticated, more national and international indeed. So these reforms, which we've worked on for a long time and with policing, will fix those challenges.
President Trump has indicated he may at some point withdraw federal immigration officers from Minneapolis. Anger's growing after 37-year-old Alex Preti was shot and killed by ICE agents on Saturday. Mr. Trump has also said that his administration is reviewing everything connected to the shooting. Former Presidents Barack Obama and Bill Clinton have called for Americans to stand up and defend their values. Sir Keir Starmer is facing a potential backbench rebellion after Andy Burnham was banned from standing in an upcoming by-election. Mr. Burnham says he's disappointed and has criticised how Labour's run. Greater Manchester's mayor is seen as a leadership rival to Sir Keir if he becomes an MP. The MP for Bolton West, Labour's Philip Brickell, says it was a right decision.
When we know that it could cost £4.7 million to hold a mayoral by-election, I don't think I could justify that to my constituents as to why that is a good use of taxpayers' money.
The NHS in England is improving the sensitivity of bowel cancer screening. It's hoped it'll pick up thousands more cases that could be prevented or caught early. Gold prices have hit a record high above $5,000 an ounce. Investors turn to the precious metal during times of uncertainty as it's seen as a safer asset. Tensions between the US and NATO over Greenland have added to growing geopolitical uncertainty. And the UK is to back new offshore wind projects in the North Sea along with 9 other countries. For the first time, turbines will provide energy for more than one country using undersea cables. In the city, the FTSE 100 will reopen later at 10,143. It closed down 6 on Friday. The pound buys $1.35 and €1.15. LBC weather, cloudy but largely dry for most today. Some outbreaks of rain in the west later, a high of 8 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission, and it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible and make a claim with HMRC for free online. Just search, don't get caught out.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning. 4 minutes after seven on Monday, January the 26th. A wake-up call to every American. That's our former President Barack Obama. Views the shooting of a within about 18 days, I think, the second shooting of an innocent protester in Minneapolis. This one, video clearly shows he's wrestled to the ground by four, maybe five agents, and then shot in the back. Shot a total, by the way, of 10 times. Shots that could echo across the whole of the United States, could echo through the Trump presidency. Staying with matters to do with Donald Trump, it would appear, God save the king, as he took on, discreetly, I'm sure, Donald Trump, those ridiculous claims about British and also, I'm sure, other NATO military personnel. Shadow Foreign Secretary Dame Priti Patel told LBC yesterday,
just to be so disrespectful and dishonouring our service personnel is completely unacceptable. And I know he's put out a comment last night, which was right of him to do so.
And staying with Trump.
Living like a president. Since Friday, my diets consisted of burgers, fries, washed down with Diet Coke and milkshake. I'm LBC's Henry Riley, and find out how I got on with the Trump diet.
With so many questions now about US policing, how wise is it that here in the UK they decide that there's going to be a massive shake-up and we're going to have a UK-style FBI? Surely the timing might have been better. And we take you back 100 years to an invention that I absolutely guarantee every single one of you has at some time seen.
Television has grown from a scientific novelty to a commercial service.
Yes, that's the Scottish inventor John Logie Baird, and we will celebrate 100 years of telly later in the show.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
To those hugely controversial ICE officers and to Minneapolis again, shooting dead the second anti-ICE protester in under a month. This time, a 37-year-old intensive care nurse, Alex Pretty. Here's the moments the shots rung out. Yeah, he's on his face with six people having flattened him and his gun taken away. So you do need to shoot him 10 times, don't you? And it wasn't long before the Trump administration sought to defend the killing. Kristi Noem, the U.S. Secretary of Homeland Security, saying the ICE officer was acting in self-defense.
An individual approached U.S. Border Patrol officers with a 9mm semi-automatic handgun. The officers attempted to disarm this individual, but the armed suspect reacted violently.
Utter nonsense if you study the video, by the way. Newly surfaced footage appears to dispute these claims. Also speaking after the incident was ICE Border Patrol Commander-at-Large Gregory Bovino, who told CNN that the real victims were the Border Patrol agents.
The situations are chaotic and ever-changing. Follow directions of for law enforcement. Don't inject yourself knowingly beforehand into a law enforcement situation.
With respect, it feels as though in some ways you're blaming the victim here.
The victims are the Border Patrol agents. I'm not blaming the Border Patrol agents. The victim are the Border Patrol agents. The suspect put himself in that situation. The victims are the Border Patrol agents there.
So we hear that more than once. The victims are the Border Patrol agents. That was CNN's Dana Bash, who you heard questioning. Now, at a press conference last night, the Democratic governor for Minnesota, Tim Walz, couldn't contain his fury at the Trump administration.
And you know what you saw. And then you heard the most powerful people in the world, certainly in this country, President, Vice President, Greg Bovino, Kristi Noem, narrate to you what you were looking at, that this was a domestic terrorist, crazed, running at law enforcement, with the intent to kill massive numbers of them, sullying his name within minutes of this event happening, and then closing the crime scene, sweeping away the evidence, defying a court order, and not allowing anyone to look at it.
And his fury was shared by Barack Obama, who issued a statement last night branding the shooting a wake-up call to every American, as I've said, going on the core values of the nation were increasingly under assault. People took to the streets of Minneapolis yesterday and braved minus 10 degrees temperatures to protest against the killings.
Carolyn, sorry.
So let's get to Minneapolis and bring into the conversation Dimine Chuan, who's a multimedia journalist based in Minneapolis, joining me now. Since the first fatal shooting some 17, 18 days ago, have the ICE agents in any way changed their tactics or their approach or even their geographical location? Morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. You know, to have a little background about me is I cover a lot of story. The biggest story was George Floyd. And this year, I cannot believe what I cover for, like, what I record and what I experienced the last 18 days, 19 days. And the tactic and the way ICE controlling or working out there is getting worse. I thought what happened in North Minneapolis when I told my boss, like, what's happening in North Minneapolis that night when they shot someone in the lake, I thought that was going to top it all. I was interviewed at NPR. I told them that was it. I don't think anything going to get worse. And then this happened. It got worse. And I just cannot believe all the video I captured, the photo I captured. It's just like a repeat over and over. They just group of ICE agent, not one, not two. I'm talking about 40, 50 in one location where the incident happened. And they would just push all the protesters out, take a little 20-minute break, and then keep pushing the protester out. And tear gas, flashbang, everything just come out. I feel like it's a war zone.
Obviously, it's the early hours of the morning for you now, D-Mine, but what do you imagine the atmosphere will be like this morning later when day breaks?
To be honest, right now in Minnesota, a few hours ago, it didn't stop. People protest. People went to a hotel near the University of Minnesota, and I don't know if it's the right hotel or not, but they smashed a lot of vandalism, a lot of stuff happening. I'm talking about 1 or 2 hours ago. People are not sleeping. People are protesting in Minnesota, and I just can't believe this. I just can't believe this happening in this state.
How do you plan to cover the story tomorrow? Later today, I'm sorry. What are your plans for later today?
You know, after talking to you, I will take a good night's sleep. I got to wake up 9 in the morning, have a little quick meeting, and then I'm going to go out there and capture the video like I did on Saturday. I just cannot believe what I saw, what I witnessed, and how aggressive they are. And I'm not picking any side. I'm a multimedia journalist. I always in the middle. People know that. But what I saw is that no police officers, especially Minneapolis police officer, was at that location after the shooting. I don't see them.
And all lastly, I see was ICE. Do you mind, when the agents go to local coffee shops or restaurants or gas stations or hotels, how do the people of the city, how do they treat them?
You know what I saw on social media is not good. They don't like them. They yell at you or they yell at ICE officer. They record the video. The ICE officer are not walking here. And I don't think ICE officer want to be here because it's cold. Minnesota is a cold weather. I live here for over 30 years. It's cold. Yeah. And I know they all want to leave Minnesota. So I don't know why they're here. And I'm not picking any side, but I think they know that people in Minnesota do not like them here.
All right. Listen, you look after yourself. Thanks for your time today. Dimine Chuan, multimedia journalist, talking to us from Minneapolis, 12 after 7. Listening to that is Barry Donadio, former U.S. Secret Service officer in Washington. He joins us from Washington, D.C. You may recall we spoke with him earlier this month about the first of the shootings. Now, Barry was on the White House detail to protect Presidents George W. Bush and Barack Obama. And perhaps I can start with the latter of those that you helped to protect. Former President Obama says this is a wake-up call to every American, and this is a tragedy. How are you seeing it, Barry? Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me, Nick. Yes, unfortunately, somebody died again. And this is because people are interjecting themselves into law enforcement operations, which are very emotionally charged. There is tear gas being deployed. From the video I saw, Nick, I mean, unfortunately, this man was armed and decided to interject himself into a law enforcement operation that is highly tense, unpredictable, blocked the road, which it appears like in the video, and then get into what it looked like to me as a physical altercation with one of the ICE agents, which led to the scuffle you were speaking about on the ground and then shots being fired.
Barry, the guy's not using his firearm. He's legally permitted to carry a firearm. The weapon he's using is a mobile phone to photograph, and you've got five guys virtually sitting on him on the ground. How on earth can you justify then actually shooting at him?
Well, I can justify this under the provisions of the law that have already been in place prior to this incident. So the first issue is he is impeding law enforcement operations.
You
crime
don't
number
shoot
one.
Dead for that, do you, Barry?
No, absolutely not. And I agree with you there. But look at the chain of events that started. The video that I have seen, and there may be other ones, and I could change, excuse me, I could change my mind on this if I see more evidence. But at the evidence that's being displayed right now, you have him impeding law enforcement operations. That's the first issue. And that's what the police got keyed in on him and his partner. Looks like he's there with a female. The ICE agents go over to him to try to confront him or move them. They push the female partner of the defendant. He seems to not have liked that. And he interjects himself into a physical altercation with the police while armed.
But Barry, you've got him on the ground. You've got five operatives effectively sitting on him. Well, and the other guy's taken his gun away.
Well, I'm getting to that.
He's disabled. So, why now so shoot
him? He's certainly not disabled.
What, with five men sitting on top of him?
Can I pull a trigger with five people sitting on
him? He hasn't got the gun. The other guy's got the gun.
To be honest, I agree with you partially. Okay. I can't tell in the video, to be honest with you. It's hard to see.
Sure, I agree.
Okay, until they really, really clear this video up, maybe with some kind of media filter that we could see it a little better, slow it down. And does he have a second gun is the question. I'm not certain of that either. What I am certain of, what I can see, is he does, in fact, assault a police officer. Or if nobody wants to consider the federal agents a police officer, they're a law enforcement officer. If you touch them, it is an assault. It is an assault on a police officer.
All right, Barry, I have to leave it there for time reasons. I'm grateful you staying up late or early into the morning to take the call. Barry Donadio, you're a former U.S. Secret Service officer. You're based in Washington, D.C. I'm just going to have to say on this occasion, Barry, there's no common ground between us whatsoever. You've got the guy, as I say, you've got him on the ground. You've got four to five people sitting on top of him. He's utterly disabled. And then you start shooting him. I just can't see it. We'll pick up on that. And of course, events here in the U.K., it's a crash in Burnham as the Manchester mayor is denied the chance to run in a by-election. Here's Labour MP Andy McDonald. He's not happy.
This is a crass and dreadful decision. I'm just staggered that our Labour leader actually cast a vote to block a candidate who would, in everybody's estimation, would win.
Yes, more on that as well. It's 7:16 LBC News headlines then. Dominic Ellis.
The Home Secretary, Shabana Mahmood, is to promise to make police respond quicker to 999 calls. President Trump's indicated he may at some point withdraw federal immigration officers from Minneapolis. And Sir Keir Starmer is facing a potential backbench rebellion after Andy Burnham was banned from standing in a by-election. LBC weather, cloudy but largely dry for most to start. Heavy rain and strong winds will push into the west later, a high of 10 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. It's very slow on the A1M southbound to the M25 junction. It's because of an accident where one lane is closed. There are delays on the M4 westbound to junction 7 at Slough West, and that's where a car's broken down. Roadworks on the A4 eastbound at Sutton Court Road in Chiswick mean there are delays back onto the M4 from the elevated section. Still very slow on the A13 westbound to the Lakeside turn-off after an accident. On the trains, there are problems now for the Gatwick Express. It is suspended between Victoria and Gatwick Airport because of an ongoing investigation. Also, southern services remain suspended between Horsham and Dorking. And on the underground, there are severe delays on the Circle, the Hammersmith and City and Metropolitan lines.
This is LBC.
If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, what you thought you were getting may not be what you ended up with. From unexpected site fee increases, running costs, a huge depreciation in value, many owners feel they've been missold. If you think this might be you, holidayparkadvicecentre.co.uk could help you receive the compensation you're entitled to. Text ASSIST to 78900 to find out more. That's ASSIST to 78900.
This is LBC. Listen on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app. Download it now from your app store.
There's so much more to enjoy when you fly in Emirates Economy. Spacious legroom,
delicious regionally inspired meals, complimentary drinks, and with the latest movies, TV shows, music and live sport, some of the best entertainment in the skies. And our family services make your journey simple and fun. Plan your next trip and start the holiday early in Emirates Economy. Fly Emirates, fly better.
Hiya, Kenny the hamster here, beloved pet of Doug and Carol Brookbank. Now, I've got to hand it to Doug and Kazza. They're doing school pickups, jobs, trips to the supermarket, and still find time to get healthy. Apparently, it's down to some NHS Healthy Choices quiz. Only took them 5 minutes to do, then gave them a simple plan to get started.
Come on, kids.
Total amazeballs.
Take your first little step to healthy. Search NHS Healthy Choices Quiz to get a score and a plan that's right for you.
Idle money chills in your current account, parked in front of the telly, wanting a snack, yet too lazy to move. But thanks to Monzo, busy money got up early, automatically split your paycheck into pots, rounded up your purchases into savings, invested your interest into ISAs, oh, and has already written itself a to-do list for tomorrow. Monzo, the bank that gets your money moving. UK residents aged 18 plus, Monzo personal account required, capital at risk, T's and C's and fees may apply.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
20 minutes after 7, come to your reaction in a moment to those events. But if the Labour Party wanted to achieve one thing of getting themselves on all of the front pages, they've managed it, but sadly for all the right reasons, because it does appear the decision not to allow Andy Burnham to run has rather backfired on them. For the Daily Mail, lame duck Starmer has only hastened his demise. Labour war as Starmer blocks Burnham bid to be MP is the Daily Express. Labour in revolt over Burnham stitch-up is the front page of the Daily Telegraph. The Daily Mirror, which I remind you, of course, is very much a Labour-supporting newspaper. Strong Starm tactics, as in Starmer, strong Starm tactics. And The Guardian, Labour faces risk of party civil war after PM blocks Burnham's return. We're going to get more details on that story from our political editor, Natasha Clark, in a few minutes. And obviously we will be providing you the opportunity to comment on that. Let's go to the LBC app. Now, that's the LBC app is going with events in Minneapolis. US officials defend fatal ice shooting. Barack Obama, using the lines that I've mentioned, Barack Obama insists the tragedy is a wake-up call. And one other news website. Let's go to The Independent. There's a photograph of the intensive care nurse, Alex Pretty, however it's pronounced, shot dead by federal agents, of course, and the aftermath ringing around the whole of the United States. It is the front page of some of the US papers as well. The Washington Post, DOJ, Department of Justice, FBI on sideline in shooting probe. One thing you learn about American justice, they cannot write a headline if their life depended on it. They cannot, well, sorry, the Tebbis count, the New York Post, it's unfortunately, it's not about the, it's about the weather, so it's the land of the freeze. They're much smarter over there, but those heavy newspapers cannot write a headline. Alrighty, that's enough from me. Let's get your reaction from what's happened over there. Alexander in Telford, I can only call it one way. How do you see it? Good morning.
Yeah, I think, for all we say negative about the social media, I think the social media is sort of like an independent journalism on its own.
Yeah, I think it's quite journalism, but yes, it certainly helps get to some of the facts, certainly.
Yes. Yeah, once you get on Twitter, one is able to get different views. And whatever view you look at it from, this guy was obviously directing traffic with his phone. No one even knew he was.
He was obviously... Did you say directing traffic?
Directing traffic, yeah. Right. And now this lady was actually, it was a lady, he was there with a lady.
Yes, he was there with a woman,
yes. Accosted by the ICE agent.
Yes.
So the ICE agent pushes this lady, and then the man sort of like goes in, like, sort of, what are you doing? And then the ICE agent produces a pepper spray. Pepper sprays him, and the man was suddenly now grasping around, and then that was when they jumped on him.
Mm-hmm.
He told he was jumped on by at least 5 ICE agents, mm-hmm. at least, and he was put to the ground. And next thing, he's shot.
Yes.
I think he was dispossessed. In what world do trained officers jump on a man?
They're out of control, I fear, Alexander.
Yeah. They're supposed to be trained, aren't they?
They are meant to be trained, but whatever training they're getting is clearly isn't good enough.
And then they shoot him.
Yes.
I mean, I don't understand how a man jumped on by 5 agents gets being shot. And they're saying that he was armed. I mean, this is all secondary. The fact is that they jumped on a seemingly defenseless man for no real reason. And power sort of like...
Well, just give me your view on this, Lassie Alexander. For the Trump administration, he was a, quote, domestic terrorist and an assassin. And for the local ICE commander, his agents, the ICE agents, are the actual victims. A response to those two lines, if you would.
Yeah, this is simply a lie. I mean, this man, the truth is that an innocent man, a nurse, was publicly executed on the streets of Minneapolis. Full stop.
All right. Alexander, thanks for getting us started. Peter in Stirling, good to hear from you again, Peter. Your reaction on it, your verdict, if you will. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Nick. I don't think we should be calling it a shooting. It is an execution. It's a summary execution by people out of control. I mean, if that was in a war zone, there would be an investigation,
yes,
wouldn't there?
There would, actually.
If this was any other country in the world, we wouldn't do it. We'd be sanctioning people connected to ICE, and we'd be having very strong words with their leader or their diplomatic staff about this. If this was Iran, or if this was China, if this was a country that was like, Syria or something like that, we would be taking action, even if it's just but we won't.
What does it tell you, lastly, Peter, what does it tell you about ICE and how it's operating, and what does it tell you about the Trump administration, Peter?
Well, I can't remember where the journalist was from. She did this attempt where she basically tried to sign up for ICE and see what their checks were like. There's none. They're not checking who they're getting in. And then I think the training is minimal at best. And I don't think de-escalation has ever kind of entered into the lexicon of many federal agents and law enforcement. And it's bad enough. And then you've got people now, you're not even screening. You're giving a gun, you're masking them up, and you're saying, do what you need to do.
I know, and there doesn't seem to be, and quite how you would allow language such as domestic terrorist and assassin. All that's going to do is, of course, increase the tension and keep it at such a perilous point. Peter, thank you for that. Let's just get a couple of the social medias that are coming in here. Albert in Croydon, Trump is now running the United States like a mafia boss, excusing the disgusting killing of innocent people by his thugs. David Ditchburn says, why was he carrying a gun at a peaceful protest? Well, A, in one, he was legally allowed to carry a gun. B, it was in the back of his jeans, if you will, around the back of his jeans. He wasn't brandishing it. And C, as you'll know if you visited the United States, plenty of people carry guns. That doesn't mean the minute they decide to try and film you that you shoot them dead, particularly as you've got him disabled, prone on the ground. But do keep him coming. Let's go to other matters. And I sense this story will still be front pages, but for events yesterday, political events here, and what would appear to show a Prime Minister very much on the defensive from a potential challenge from the self-styled King of the North, Andy Burnham, who would have to acquit, of course, his mayoralty of Greater Manchester. Here with all the background, and perhaps a pointer towards what might come as a result, LBC's political editor, Natasha Clark's in the studio with me. Morning, Natasha.
Good morning, Nick. Yes, what you said there about weakness from a Prime Minister, I think, is as absolutely being talked about. There's chatter amongst the MPs this morning. Andy Burnham's attempt to return to Parliament has crashed and burned in just a few short hours over the weekend. The Manchester Mayor said he wanted to stand to become the MP for Gorton after Andrew Gwynne said he would be standing down last week. But yesterday, Labour's National Executive Committee, led by Sir Keir Starmer, blocked that move. Earlier in the day, MPs and political figures had told us they wanted to see him be allowed to stand and the local party should pick their candidate. That included Sir Sadiq Khan.
I think if Andy Burnham wants to be a Member of Parliament, Andy Burnham should be allowed to be a Member of Parliament. I'm a firm believer in the best teams having all the talent playing for them.
And the former Shadow Chancellor, John McDonnell.
What you usually do, and if you're a leader with an element of strength, is instead of trying to use mechanisms which will simply block and therefore alienate lots of people and cause even bigger row, what you do is you bring that person in, keep them close, give them a job.
That also came alongside Lucy Powell, Angela Rayner and Ed Miliband in the Cabinet, who all spoke out in favour of Mr Burnham. But just after 12 p.m. yesterday, the NEC announced he would not be able to stand. Steve Reid, the Housing Secretary, explained why.
Voters don't like elections that come mid-term. People voted in Greater Manchester overwhelmingly for Andy Burnham to be their mayor 2 years ago for a four-year term. He's only halfway through. Under the Labour Party rules, any mayor that wants to seek selection for a parliamentary by-election has to get permission first. On this occasion, the NEC has decided against it because it would inconvenience 2 million people who only voted for their mayor 2 years ago expecting a four-year term.
Now, insiders said this was due to the cost of having to run another mayoral election, said to be more than £1.5 million. They said there was a real risk it could be lost to Reform. What an admission from the Labour Party that they felt they could lose such a safe seat.
About 13,000 majority. Yeah,
exactly, and I don't think they've ever lost the mayoral election in Manchester. Sorry, won it with less than 60% of the vote, Labour. Like, they are just not going to lose that seat. But, Nick, we know the real reason here. Andy Burnham wants to return to Parliament because he is not happy with Sir Keir Starmer. He is rumoured to want to launch a leadership coup if the time comes. Here was him speaking at party conference last year.
Those today making calls for simplistic statements of loyalty. Well, I say, if that closes down the debate we need, I think it's at risk of underestimating the peril the party is in as we get to the polls next May. So I've been accused of all things in the last week, as you can probably see. I've done nothing more than launch a debate.
The peril the party is in, Andy Burnham warned. So where does the dust settle this morning? Well, the Prime Minister's allies feel there was no choice not to do this. Allowing him to stand in the wings is going to be a distraction at best, and at worst allow him a free run at the leadership basically whenever he wants. So for Keir Starmer, this buys him more time, but of course looks, as you say, like he is weak and running scared. The crucial point, however, is this whole row risks upsetting the cabinet ministers and those backbenchers who wanted to see Burnham return. Yesterday, the backbencher MP Carl Turner told our colleague Henry Riley that many people, including him, were unhappy.
I think it was a mistake. I think he should have been entitled to go forward to the next round at the very least. And the reality is, he's very much the best player in that region to stand a by-election at a time when we're polling very badly across the board. That's the truth of it. And I'm really upset and concerned that this provides an opportunity for those that are spoiling for a scrap anyway with the Prime Minister.
I've been told this is a mistake, it's the wrong call, that it risks angering the rank and file even more. Some, I'm told, are looking at how to challenge the decision. That feels unlikely. So the question today, has the Prime Minister sped up his own demise by essentially making this call? And we're facing this by-election in Gorton, a huge test for the Prime Minister, and then those May elections. I think we're going to see much more discussion about Sir Keir Starmer's leadership and whether he is really up to the job than we would have done. The Prime Minister may have had no choice but to do this, Nick, but he may have upset so many MPs in the process that this will leave him looking for the door far sooner than he hoped.
And of course the nightmare scenario in a sentence is it's possible they'll lose the damn by-election anyway now.
It is possible. It's much more possible I think they will lose the Gorton by-election than the Manchester mayoralty, yeah, because it's a lot closer. The polls, according to electoral calculus, have, I think, Labour on sort of 22 and Reform on 20% of the votes. So Nigel Farage, you absolutely bet, is going to throw his absolute kitchen sink to try and gift them an eighth MP, and some people within the Labour Party think you just given him another one.
And do you remember when they came to power, they were going to end all that political psychodrama? Do you remember we were told that by Sir Keir Starmer? It seems to have got worse. All right, and LBC's political editor, Natasha Clark, reporting. Come to more of your calls concerning events in the United States after the news, when we'll also be hearing about it. Sir King Charles 1, President Trump 0 over the bravery of our troops. Former Conservative MP and former military veteran himself, Tobias Elwood, told LBC.
When a US president insults our service personnel, it's absolutely right that we speak out.
And have more on that as well. You're listening to Breakfast with me, Nick Ferrara on LBC. The 7:30 news is with Dominic Ellis.
Home Secretary Shabana Mahmood is to promise later to make police respond quicker to 999 calls in England and Wales. Forces will be required to respond to emergencies within 20 minutes under strict new targets. President Trump says his administration is reviewing everything connected to the killing of a man in Minneapolis. 37-year-old Alex Pretty was shot and killed by federal immigration agents on Saturday. And Sir Keir Starmer is facing a potential backbench rebellion after Andy Burnham was banned from standing in an upcoming by-election. The party's ruling body says it was due to concerns about the cost of fighting a mayoral race in Greater Manchester. LBC weather, cloudy but largely dry for most today to start, but some heavy rain and strong winds will push into the west later, a high of 10 degrees.
Tom Swarbrick on LBC.
Keir Starmer would be a much better Foreign Secretary than Prime Minister. He has stayed on the right side of constructive negotiation with the President of the United States, and then when it has been necessary to criticise him for his comments around UK involvement in Afghanistan, it's just a slight shame about everything else.
Tom Swarbrick, Monday to Friday from 4 p.m. Listen on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app.
Resolutions, to-do lists, big ideas, whatever you call them, let's make them happen. If 2026 is the year for getting yourself moving or getting round to some home improving, you'll find hundreds of electricals from brands like Samsung, Hotpoint and AEG to help keep your goal on track. Plus, there are finance options to suit you, all from the UK's most trusted electrical retailer. Shop now at AO.com. Hey, verify most trusted at AO.com/trust.
This is not just food. This is 100% British, 5% fat beef mince. Now for just £5.20. Hang on, 100% British for £5.20? Down from £6.75. That can't be right. Oh, it says here that this is the Remarksable Value range. Over 100 family favourites that are the same M&S quality but at everyday low prices. Well, looks like this is not just food. This is M&S Remarksable Value Food. Subject to availability.
Craig's never shown an interest in beekeeping before, but that's the sound of him buying 2,000 worker bees rather than doing his self-assessment. Craig, you live in a sixth-floor flat. The deadline is 31st of January. Less distraction, more action.
Don't be like Craig. Visit gov.uk/self-assessment today. Payment support may be available.
At Pets in a Pickle, we know what it's like welcoming a new pet into the family. Whether it's a curious kitten or a wobbly-legged puppy, they're cute, they're chaos, and sometimes they get themselves into a pickle. That's why we offer fuss-free pet insurance policies with unlimited video call access with First Vet. So the only thing you have to worry about is keeping them away from your favourite vase. For pet insurance policies as unique as they are, visit petsinapickle.co.uk.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345-6060-973.
7:35, you know the drill. We'll have more calls in a moment on that shooting in Minneapolis. Where does it leave President Trump? And what now? Surely there has to be some kind of intervention. Possibly some what's called training for some of these men? Extraordinary scenes. Let's get into the world of finance now. Christine May, Editor-in-Chief at City AM, joins me with the latest concerning gold. What's happening with the price of gold? Christine, good morning.
Good morning to you, Nick. Yes, another week and another round of conversations about global uncertainty, all of which is driving ever higher the price of gold, which has risen above $5,000 an ounce for the first time. So you better check your rings and watches and see what you might be able to cash in on the high street, Nick, because this is extending a rally that went throughout last year, in which gold surged 60% in 2025. And why is this happening? Well, it is linked to the global uncertainty. It's linked to people's desire and demand for safe haven assets. Questions about the primacy of the US dollar, huge tensions around global trade, not least with Donald Trump at the helm of US economic policy. Questions over relationships with China, conflicts, of course, and general economic uncertainty, central banks in particular playing their part, buying up gold, diversifying. So gold is on a run, as is silver. And I suppose it's worth taking a moment to look back at questioning precisely why is this and where does gold's value come from? And I was just looking this morning and staggered to discover that only 216,000 tonnes of gold have ever been mined. And there's only about another 64,000 tonnes that can be got at. So the entire amount of gold that is out there in the world, it says, according to the World Gold Council report I'm just glancing at, could fill between 3 or 4 Olympic-sized swimming pools. Now, that when you put it like that, you realise that scarcity drives value, and the value is increasing.
Right, well, it questioned, of course, that decision by Gordon Brown many years ago to sell. But we'll move on from that and go to other events. Who is suggesting the city is at a critical juncture, and why?
Well, in contrast to the Chancellor, who, had she attended the speech at the London Stock Exchange that she was due to give a week or so ago, she pulled out because she had to go and support Keir Starmer in Downing Street when he was responding to Donald Trump's latest tariff threat. She was going to give a speech in which she hailed the golden age of the City of London, and she was linking that to the record high stock market. But a report out today from the city's own industry group called the City UK, in conjunction with PwC, based on surveys of around 300 senior figures in the city and across the city's regulators and major financial players, they said that actually there is a critical imperative for action to end what they call the risk of relative decline. The risk of decline of the City of London as it relates to powering the UK economy, and the risk of its decline of its global competitiveness. The report makes quite stark reading. In contrast to the Chancellor's bullish take on the future of the square mile, the City Industry Group says that it's actually something of a burning platform, and that without major intervention, it does risk being critically undermined. They talk about how the UK's tax environment is one of the least competitive in the world. They talk about the need to go further on some of the reforms that have already been announced, and the Chancellor was hailing in that speech she would have given. So it goes into quite some detail. It also takes aim at the non-dom regime that was abolished, and the extent to which the UK has lost its attractive status for people who are, like it or not, quite critical to the functioning of major financial institutions, financial centres. So I would hope that those in the Treasury will pore over this report today. I'm sure the Treasury would say, listen, we've done an awful lot, we're pushing forward on a number of reforms, but the overall message from the city is do not be complacent.
Staying with the city, why is London, unfortunately, still no longer, I'm afraid, the place to have fun, a city to have fun in the United Kingdom?
Well, I know you have a chauffeur on 24/7 speed dial, Nick, but the rest of us, we rely on cabs, and among that, many of those will be Ubers. And Ubers data from across the UK has revealed that London is something of a little bit sleepy post 10 p.m. Edinburgh has ranked as the UK's late night capital, according to that data. And Glasgow comes second. Now, I'm sure some people will say, well, look, London's got the night tube and it's got plenty of good night buses, etc. But the data paints a picture of London's decline as a late night venue. Edinburgh is doing particularly well for journeys between 10 p.m. and 4 a.m., as is Glasgow. And of course, this does relate to ongoing debate. Debates that have been going on for years about the decline of nightlife, nighttime economy, night venues, which London has felt quite acutely, continues to do so, of course, as the business rates debate rumbles on. But it looks like Scotland is the place to go if you want to have a proper late night session.
Thanks so much for that, Christian. Probably won't get up there today, if that's all right with you. Christian Mayer's editor-in-chief at City AM 740, talking now about the right royal intervention involving King Charles in just a moment. But Ali in Slough's been hanging on for quite some time to give his view or verdict on those events in Minneapolis. What does it say of the ICE agent's actions? What does it say of the Trump administration? Ali, good morning.
Good morning, Nick. On a moment of agreement.
A rare moment of agreement between us. Go on then. What have I said that I've got right?
No, 3 points, then we're broadly on the same page. Firstly, the regime's last and final act was to tell you to ignore the evidence of your eyes and ears. Mm-hmm. As Orwell commented on the Soviet gulags, we've got the Stasi Oscuritate-like absolute thuggery in America. And I'll tell you why it is. 30% plus of the people are being recruited on Operation Return to Mission, wartime footing. So you're recruiting a lot of these people that were in Iraq and Afghanistan and places like that. So we are sadly seeing the blowback of what those people have lived with for decades. And the only way that the murders, executions of Alex Pressey and Rene Good, they'll go down in history as the points in either where America will change or it's going to become an Orwellian nightmare, because you effectively have a private militia hunting down people. And as you said to that chap from the security services who was trying to justify cold-blooded murder in Minneapolis, you can't see any other way.
No, I believe, personally, there is too much virtue as yet unseen in the United States that will not allow it to decline. Bear in mind, almost certainly, President Trump will be rather hobbled after the midterms. He will not, because I cannot see the Republicans doing well. So he will effectively be semi-neutered, lastly, Ali.
Well, I hope you're right, because nobody deserves to live under such barbaric tyranny, whether it's in America or in Iraq or Afghanistan, in terms of military oppressing people. I totally agree with you.
OK, Ali, we're on a strong point. It's not quite the sort of oppression, I'm not saying for one moment, or seeking to justify those actions in Minneapolis, but it's not the same level in that you're able to go in streets of New York or whatever it might be, hopefully safely today, but certainly in that particular city they've got all sorts of issues. We say, thanks, Ali. We stay with matters concerning Donald Trump, because what a difference a few days can make. You may recall that just last week, Donald Trump said that British soldiers and other NATO soldiers stayed a little back, a little off the front line in the Afghanistan conflict that ran for 20 years and in which 457 UK service personnel lost their lives and 611 received injuries, some of them which were life-altering. And yet, on the weekend, we hear that British troops are, quote, among the greatest of all warriors. So to what do we put that change of tone down to? An intervention, a right royal intervention? Well, it is being suggested that somehow diplomacy did come from the King. And let's put that to Valentine Lowe, who was royal correspondent for The Times, long-standing royal correspondent, also wrote Power and the Palace, the inside story of the monarchy and 10 Downing Street. Valentine, long time since you and I have spoken. What do you think's taken place here? Morning.
Good morning, Nick. Well, this is fascinating, because I was initially a bit sceptical about this story. I thought that's not really how things work. Then I made a few inquiries, and it seems it absolutely is true that there was some kind of passing on of Charles's views. Charles's unease, I think, about what Trump has said. Now, we don't know what changed Donald Trump's mind. Who knows the workings of Donald Trump's mind? But the fascinating thing is that Charles's views were passed on at all. You've got to ask yourself, would this have happened with the late Queen, with Queen Elizabeth II? And the answer is absolutely not. There's no way she would have let her views be passed on to a foreign president in an attempt to change his mind. But that seems to have been what happened here.
Which means, Valentine, the King possesses a rare quality in that he is someone to whom President Trump actually listens. What do we think is the relationship between the two men?
I think there's definitely a good relationship between the two men. I mean, when Trump came over here for his state visit, the King made him incredibly welcome. He was a very good host. And you have to bear in mind the King has got diametrically opposing views to Donald Trump on things like climate change. But Charles very sort of skillfully, and it's not the first time he's done this sort of thing, very skillfully puts those views aside for a while to play host to Donald Trump. So he absolutely charms it. And Donald Trump, of course, loves the royal family. He loved the late Queen. His first day visit here was one of the highlights of his first term. His love of the royal family, including Prince William, continues.
Lastly, how do you imagine it was done? We have someone in Washington who has a good close conduit to someone who's fairly close to the president, and over a cup of tea or an ice cold beer, it's suggested, look, old boy, if the president could row back a little bit, it might help us a little bit at the palace. I'll leave it with you, Hank. I mean, how is it done?
I don't know, but I think cups of coffee or ice cold beers were involved. There wasn't time for that. But I think there are plenty of lines of communication, and there are private secretaries, there are ambassadors. There's all sorts of ways these messages could be made.
Always good hearing from you, Valentine. Be well. Good to hear from you again. Sport. Valentine Lowe was royal correspondent for the Times, long standing. Also wrote Power and the Palace, the inside story of the monarchy, and 10 Downing Street. Shall we stay with the latter of that, 10 Downing Street, and someone who feared he might be evicted, Sir Keir Starmer, voting against the Mayor of Manchester, Andy Burnham, going for a by-election. Here's the reason, according to a senior member of the government, Steve Reid.
Voters don't like elections that come mid-term. People voted in Greater Manchester overwhelmingly for Andy Burnham to be their mayor 2 years ago for a four-year term. He's only halfway through.
Yeah, voters also don't like not being allowed any election at all. Around 3 3/4 million not having to vote for 7 years. They're trying to cook it both ways, aren't they, this government? 7:47, LBC News headlines, Dominic Ellis.
Home Secretary Shabana Mahmood is to promise later to make police respond quicker to 999 calls. President Trump has indicated he may at some point withdraw federal immigration officers from Minneapolis. And Sir Keir Starmer is facing a potential backbench rebellion after Andy Burnham was barred from standing in an upcoming by-election. LBC weather, cloudy but largely dry for most to start. Heavy rain and strong winds will push into the west later, though, a high of 10 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Long delays continue on the M25 clockwise from Junction 24 at Potters Bar to just before Junction 25 at the A10. And that's following an accident. The M3 is very busy southbound to Junction 4 at Camberley. It's because a car's broken down. It's actually on the exit slip road, but there are delays back into the main carriageway. Long delays on the A4 eastbound heading into Chiswick. At Sutton Court Road, there are some roadworks in place. And those delays now go all the way back onto the M4 to the Heston services. It's taking about 40 minutes to get through that queue. On the Gatwick Express, services are now running, but with delays of around half an hour after the investigation.
This is LBC.
The great thing about potential is it has no concept of time. It doesn't care what day it is or how old you are. It doesn't care where you're from or what you used to do. It simply waits patiently for the day you decide to use it. So go on. See how a training course like Skills Boot Camps or Essential Skills can help you make the most of your potential.
It all starts with skills. Search Skills for Life.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060973. LBC.
Buying a home on a holiday park was the retreat you always wanted. But then came unexpected site fee increases. And that was before the dramatic loss in value. If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, you may have been missold. Holidayparkadvicecentre.co.uk could help you receive thousands in compensation. Text ASSIST to 78900. That's ASSIST to 78900.
Sunlight's guaranteed over 50 plan gave confidence to Jane and Chris. With their insurance sorted, they're becoming naturists. Cutting loose in their birthday suits, feeling elegant and free. But when they answered the door, the postman saw more than he expected to see. Sunlight, a little confidence goes a long way. Affordable cover with a cash payout. Search Sunlight Cover today.
Premiums paid could exceed the payment. Full cover after 1 year. Ages 49 to 85.
To be or not to be.
Right now, we're offering a range of incentives across Audi models.
That is the...
But only until the 28th of February.
The,
So stop whatever you're doing.
I'll be right back. Just carry on without me.
And find yours online or at your local Audi centre. Audi. Vorsprung durch Technik. Terms and conditions apply. Selected models, retail customers and participating Audi centres only.
A southern train is a place where you can just switch off. Where you have the chance to scroll your feeds as you roll past fields. Or simply relax with a podcast, playlist or power nap. Go with your flow and save with advanced tickets at southernrailway.com. Terms apply.
So, what's on your to-do list today? Why don't you check if you're eligible for pension credit? It tops up your pension income and also opens up help with heating bills, council tax, and more. Search pension credit on gov.uk or call 0800 99 1234. There's nothing to lose. Check today. Pension credit. Credit where credit's due. Eligibility criteria apply.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
9 minutes before 8 now, while we're discussing matters in Minneapolis, we will come to, in the next hour, full conversation about events on the weekend here in the United Kingdom, which would seem to mean that Andy Burnham's possibility or opportunity for advancement within the Labour Party has been blocked by what's called the NEC. And I shared with you some of the headlines this morning for the Daily Express. Labour war as Starmer blocks Burnham. For the Times, Labour MPs revolt over blocking of Burnham. What is the reality? Well, let's turn to a senior member of the government, Labour MP and Secretary of State for Scotland, Douglas Alexander, who joins us now. Good to have you on. What do you see as the reality behind the headline, Secretary of State? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. The reality is that the National Executive Committee, as you say, reached a judgment yesterday consistent with the Labour Party rules that as a serving mayor, and he's got two more years to go as the mayor in Manchester, they would not let him step forward and potentially be a candidate in the by-election that's been caused by Andrew Gwynne's resignation last week. That was the judgment that the National Executive Committee made yesterday. And in that sense, the focus now for the next 101 days will be on those critical elections that we do face. We've got elections in Scotland and Wales, across the rest of England. My sense is the judgment was reached by the NEC that in addition to what's a necessary by-election, there was an unnecessary by-election that would have been caused if Andy had been elected in the parliamentary by-election. That would have been the by-election in the Manchester mayoralty that would have been the equivalent of what, an extra 20 parliamentary by-elections. That would have taken time, energy, effort and focus away from the huge contest we've got in 101 days' time.
But your government's quite happy to not allow other elections to go ahead that would about help 3.75 million people being denied, in some instances, local election votes for more than 5 years, Secretary of State. So at one moment you can't have democracy and another time you can. Is that right?
Well, Nick, I think you would be very forthright on behalf of your listeners in condemning us if we'd allowed elections to go ahead that, notwithstanding the reorganisation of English local authorities that's happening right now, would have meant a huge level of public cost and expense in that regard. Incidentally, if there had been a by-election caused in the mayoralty in Manchester by Andy winning the parliamentary by-election, that wouldn't just have cost the Labour Party hundreds of thousands of pounds, it would have cost the public taxpayer millions of pounds as well. So you've always got to try and find that balance. And the judgment that the National Executive Committee made yesterday was one that they would uphold the rules, which is a presumption against a sitting mayor choosing to stand in a parliamentary by-election.
And this is, of course, the same NEC who Sir Keir Starmer, while running for leadership in 2020, said, we need to select a lot more candidates to win the next general election. We need to get on with that process as quickly as possible so it is open and transparent and our members can take the decisions. There's no imposition for the NEC except in completely extraordinary circumstances. So there he seems to want members to be able to take decisions, but this time he was happy to vote against Andy Burnham.
No, respectfully, that's not the position. There is a particular rule in the rule book of the Labour Party relevant to police and crime commissioners and sitting mayors. What was decided yesterday was not to impose a candidate on the local constituency. Instead, it was to deal with Andy's specific application, which said, notwithstanding the fact I've got 2 more years to run as Manchester's mayor, I would like to stand in this by-election. So there will be both a standard procedure, the National Executive Committee will set that out in the coming days, but this was specific to the circumstances of a mayoral candidate seeking to be selected.
How do you think Sir Keir emerges from this, Secretary of State? Stronger for it or running scared?
So honestly, I think it was Tony Blair, a previous Labour leader, who said, to decide is to divide. I'm not naive. I'm conscious that whatever decision had been reached yesterday, there were going to be disobliging headlines one way or another. This undoubtedly has led to the headlines that you've seen this morning. But let's have a thought experiment for a minute. Let's consider that the National Executive Committee yesterday decided to green light the equivalent of 20 parliamentary by-elections. I think it's a fair judgment to say the coming weeks would have been consumed by a huge amount of coverage about who's up, who's down, who's in, who's out, what's going to happen to this leader, what's going to happen to that contest. That, frankly, is not in the interest of the Labour Party, and I would argue the better interests of the country are served in recognising the scale of the choice we've got in 101 days' time in those critical elections.
Well, if you talk about judgments, let's just read you small extracts from some of the leader columns. The very much Conservative-supporting Daily Telegraph: for Sir Keir, this episode is an unmitigated disaster, an assertion of administrative power that also demonstrates his political weakness. For the Times, I'm sure you'll allow us a little more middle ground. Sir Keir has only himself to blame for the sorry state of party disunity and plunging popularity. What voters, battered by taxes, inflation and economic uncertainty, as well as an extraordinarily dangerous global outlook, now demand of the Prime Minister is vision, and it's missing. And lastly, the Daily Mirror, which I'm sure you would accept as a Labour-supporting paper. The political reality here is control. For now, Mr. Starmer remains the man charged with delivering. But if Labour isn't careful, this debacle risks civil war just when unity is vital. And that's the Labour-supporting Daily Mirror, and that's the reality you're waking up to this morning, isn't it? You're on the verge of civil war, Mr. Alexander.
And sometimes, just sometimes, Nick, journalists have an interest in what they regard as being going to be a great story.
How dare you?
Yeah, well, exactly. If the National Union of Journalists were affiliated to the Labour Party, I think there's a pretty high likelihood they would have voted for Andy to be put forward despite the rules and for this psychodrama to run for weeks and weeks and weeks. The reality is, I think it was Neil Kinnock, the second of my 10 Labour leaders, who said, you know, if you want entertainment, go to the circus. Journalists always want entertainment. I get that. I understand that. what the National Executive Committee has to decide is, frankly, what's in the best interests of the Labour Party.
We will move on, but it's interesting you mentioned that, Ms. Alexander. It was in July 2024, Sir Keir promised, and I quote, the end of the psychodrama, which of Tory leadership saw five different prime ministers of 8 years. The psychodrama continues, doesn't it?
Well, honestly, I speak with the experience of what journalists used to call the TBGBs, the psychodrama between Gordon Brown and Tony Blair. I don't think we're even in the foothills compared with where at times we were, and I'm intensely proud of that government. But the reality is, when you look back, we did burn a huge amount of time, effort, political capital focused on that psychodrama when we should have been focused every single minute of every single day on people's priorities. My sense is that the public hate politics when it's focused on politicians' ambitions. They want politicians focused on the public's ambitions. And that's what we're determined to do over the next 101 days.
All right, last minute or so together. The seat we're talking about, Gorton and Denton, has been solidly red, controlled by Labour since its creation in 1983. How confident are you that you will win again later this year?
Well, we'll throw the kitchen sink at it. I've both won a by-election and lost a by-election, so the last thing you should do is be complacent in the face of the choice that the voters have. But be assured, we're not engaging in post-match analysis before a ball's been kicked. We're determined to win the game.
You were previously a trade minister. You're back in cabinet. Sir Keir is off to China this week. How comfortable are you with the British government going for growth, cozying up to a regime such as China, Secretary of State?
Well, I travelled as trade minister to China myself. I think it would be irresponsible for us not to have a trading relationship with one of the world's largest and growing economies. But you're right, the relationship is complex. We always have to regard for our national security. And you can be assured that in Keir Starmer, we've got a serious leader aware of these serious challenges in these serious times.
Lastly, as a senior member of the government, your reaction to events we've seen played out on the streets of Minneapolis over the weekend and the reaction of both the current president and a former president, Barack Obama, talking of a wake-up call to America and Americans, Secretary of State.
Yeah, very powerful statements have been issued, not just by Barack Obama, but by Bill Clinton. I welcome the fact that the sitting president, President Trump, has said that the administration is going to look into these matters. But I was horrified, I'm sure, like everybody else, by what I saw in those videos.
Grateful for your time, Douglas Alexander. Thank you. Secretary of State for Scotland, taking us to 8 o'clock on LBC. So let's get the news headlines.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 8 o'clock, police forces will be required to respond to emergencies within 20 minutes as part of sweeping reforms for England and Wales. Other changes due to be announced later include the creation of a new national police force. LBC can also reveal the government plans to attract more tech experts to volunteer with the police. Dr. Ashley Frayling is from the association that represents special constables.
I do think there's huge possibilities in financial fraud. I think that we could be engaging with people working in the financial sector, young people and their ability to not only know around what is happening online, the different platforms, the way different people are communicating now.
President Trump says his administration is reviewing everything connected to the killing of Alex Pretty in Minneapolis. The 37-year-old was shot and killed by federal immigration agents on Saturday. Border officials insist they acted in self-defense, but local authorities question the threat posed by Mr. Pretty. Sir Keir Starmer is facing a potential backbench rebellion after Andy Burnham was banned from standing in an upcoming by-election. Mr. Burnham says he's disappointed and has criticised how Labour's run. Greater Manchester's mayor is seen as a leadership rival to Sir Keir if he becomes an MP. The Cabinet Minister Douglas Alexander has just told Nick there's nothing sinister behind the decision, though.
My sense is the judgment was reached by the NEC that in addition to what's a necessary by-election, there was an unnecessary by-election that would have been caused if Andy had been elected in the parliamentary by-election. That would have been the by-election in the Manchester mayoralty that would have been the equivalent of what, an extra 20 parliamentary by-elections. That would have taken time, energy, effort and focus away from the huge contest we've got in 101 days' time.
Gold prices have hit a record high, above $5,000 an ounce. Investors turn to the precious metal during times of economic uncertainty, as it's seen as a safer asset. And the UK is to back new offshore wind projects in the North Sea, along with 9 other countries. For the first time, some of the turbines will provide energy for more than one country using undersea cables. Those backing the plan say it could bring down energy prices. In the city, the FTSE 100 just reopened at 10,143 after closing down 6 on Friday. The pound buys $1.35 and €1.15. LBC weather, cloudy but largely dry for most to start today. Heavy rain and strong winds will push into the west later, a high of 10 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
So you're getting a new pet. You've got bedding, you've got toys, you've got a name. But have you got insurance? Well, if you've got a Tesco Club Card, you'll get a Club Card discount on Tesco Pet Insurance. And all policies include vet phone or peace of mind 24/7. Just search online for Tesco Pet Insurance. Cats and dogs aged 8 weeks or over. Vet phone provided by Vets Direct Limited. Monetary limits, excesses and exclusions apply. Arranged by Pinnacle Insurance Limited.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Morning, 3 minutes after eight on Monday, the 26th of January. A nightmare for Sir Keir Starmer as he blocks Manchester Mayor going for that by-election. Or is he showing he's a strong man or running scared? Which is it? We'll take with you. Might take your your views on that when we give you the full details. Staying with the Prime Minister, well, we're going to hear an initiative now, later in the show, about what it is to be working class and how it could be a protected class to be, stay with me, to be working class. But what exactly is working class? You may recall this is a question I put to Sir Keir back in 2023 while he was leader of the opposition.
Working class is families that work for their living, earn their money through going out to work every day.
Oh, that's crystal clear. So how, before we even decide whether they should be protected, how would you define working class? In other news, the bigger shake-up to our policing in generations. Home Secretary Shabana Mahmood.
The reforms that we are making are actually about having a model for policing in this country that is able to keep pace with the changing nature of crime.
Plus, happy birthday, television. Yes, created 100 years ago, and we'll be speaking with the grandson of the man who created it ahead of a special ceremony. And of course, we've seen everything, haven't we? If you want to come up to date, you've had things like traitors, you've had cup finals, you've had Olympics, you've had party political broadcasts, you've had elections, you could almost say you've had wars as well. But here's the first play, The Man with the Flower in His Mouth, in 1930.
The man with the flower in his mouth is seated at one of the tables, silently observing the customer, who, at a neighbouring table, is sipping a mint frappe through a straw.
How on earth did that morph into Anton Deck and Get Me Out of the Jungle?
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Yours is the voice that they will be listening to. Natasha Clark, LBC's political editor, sort of predicted this on Friday when there was a discussion that Andy Burnham might be limbering up to go for that by-election. And then there was the possibility, of course, that then that would lead to a challenge. Whichever way you look at it, let's be candid, unless you are the most fervent Sir Keir Starmer supporter, you have to say the country hasn't ticked along as they would have hoped. Now, whether that's all their fault, that we don't need to debate that. But with the possibility that Andy Burnham, the self-styled King of the North, would come riding back into the House, well, the decision was taken that he would be blocked. All but one person in the NEC, this all-powerful NEC, National Executive Committee, decided he couldn't run. And I remind you, as I said to the Cabinet Minister with whom I was chatting about 20 minutes ago, it was as recently as 2024, as he entered number 10, that Sir Keir promised an end to the psychodrama of politics. His words, not mine. The psychodrama. He was pointing, of course, to Conservative leadership challenges that had seen five different prime ministers in the space of 8 years. Oh, how we used to laugh at Italy, and now we were far worse. But are we now on the verge of that? And come on, at the very least, there's going to be rumblings of discontent, if not all-out civil war. Well, here's Sir Keir Starmer, back in 2020, while running for the Labour leadership, saying that the NEC, this is to remind you, is the committee, the group that's blocked Burnham, the NEC needed less power.
I think we should ensure that all decisions have huge input from our members, whether that's policy or selection of candidates. We need to select a lot more candidates to win the next general election. We need to get on with that process as quickly as possible so that it's open and transparent and our members can take the decisions. And there's no imposition from the NEC except in completely extraordinary circumstances. But the most important thing is that each and every member feels I can go along, I can be heard, I will be respected, I'll be proud to be part of the collective decision making.
Scotland Secretary Douglas Alexander was speaking with me in the previous hour, and I put those comments made by Sir Keir to him. He denied it was hypocritical from the Prime Minister.
No, respectfully, that's not the position. There is a particular rule in the rule book of the Labour Party relevant to police and crime commissioners and sitting mayors. What was decided yesterday was not to impose a candidate on the local constituency. Instead, it was to deal with Andy's specific application, which said, notwithstanding the fact I've got two more years to run as Manchester's mayor, I would like to stand in this by-election. So there will be both a standard procedure, the National Executive Committee will set that out in the coming days, but this was specific to the circumstances of a mayoral candidate seeking to be selected.
Now the question I'm putting to you, does the Prime Minister emerge stronger or scared? I also put to Douglas Alexander. His response?
So honestly, I think it was Tony Blair, a previous Labour leader, who said to decide is to divide. I'm not naive. I'm conscious that whatever decision had been reached yesterday, there were going to be disobliging headlines one way or another. This undoubtedly has led to the headlines that you've seen this morning. But let's have a thought experiment for a minute. Let's consider that the National Executive Committee yesterday decided to green light the equivalent of 20 parliamentary by-elections. I think it's a fair judgment to say the coming weeks would have been consumed by a huge amount of coverage about who's up, who's down, who's in, who's out, what's going to happen to this leader, what's going to happen to that contest. That, frankly, is not in the interest of the Labour Party, and I would argue the better interests of the country are served in recognising the scale of the choice we've got in 101 days' time in those critical elections.
Well, if you talk about judgments, let's just read you small extracts from some of the leader columns. The very much conservative supporting Daily Telegraph: for Sir Keir, this episode is an unmitigated disaster, an assertion of administrative power that also demonstrates his political weakness. For the Times, I'm sure you'll allow us a little more middle ground. Sir Keir has only himself to blame for the sorry state of party disunity and plunging popularity. What voters, battered by taxes, inflation and economic uncertainty, as well as an extraordinarily dangerous global outlook, now demand of the Prime Minister is vision, and it's missing. And lastly, the Daily Mirror, which I'm sure you would accept is a Labour-supporting paper. The political reality here is control. For now, Mr. Starmer remains the man charged with delivering. But if Labour isn't careful, this debacle risks civil war just when unity is vital. And that's the Labour-supporting Daily Mirror, and that's the reality you're waking up to this morning, isn't it? You're on the verge of civil war, Mr. Alexander.
And sometimes, just sometimes, Nick, journalists have an interest in what they regard as being going to be a great story.
How dare you?
Yeah, well, exactly. If the National Union of Journalists were affiliated to the Labour Party, I think there's a pretty high likelihood they would have voted for Andy to be put forward despite the rules and for this psychodrama to run for weeks and weeks and weeks. The reality is, I think it was Neil Kinnock, the second of my 10 Labour leaders, who said, you know, if you want entertainment, go to the circus. Journalists always want entertainment. I get that. I understand that. What the National Executive Committee has to decide is, frankly, what's in the best interest of the Labour Party.
Douglas Alexander. Rosie Duffield is an independent MP for Canterbury, Whitstable and the Villages, and joining me now. How does Sir Keir emerge in your view, Rosie? Good morning.
Hi, Nick. Things have been pretty dire in the Parliamentary Labour Party for quite a long time. I mean, to be honest with you, the senior backbenchers who were there when Keir was made leader have never been entirely behind him. He's had nearly 6 years of basically ignoring backbenchers, and that sort of resentment has been growing. So it was bad anyway. It feels in Parliament that it's now febrile. I mean, the anger and the distrust, this has just made it so much worse, and it's been terrible for quite a while now.
What should he have done? Should Andy Byrne have been allowed to run for this seat?
Absolutely, without question, yes. There's been all this anger bubbling up in the party. People are not behind Keir Starmer as the leader. Even the new MPs are, some of them, openly saying that they recognise that they're only here for one term, which is a pretty damning legacy with such a huge majority. And those of us that have been campaigning for a return of the Labour government for nearly 15 years cannot quite believe how quickly and how substantially he's managed to destroy the party and the party's chances of ever at the moment being seen as a credible government again. It's quite extraordinary.
Rosie, a couple of newspapers in their leader columns seem to focus on one point, which is in a way, actually, Sakir might have hastened his own demise. Comment on that, if
yes.
you would.
Yeah, I mean, most of us have been going, this cannot go on for quite a long time now. None of us were particularly happy going into the general election, but we kept thinking, it's got to get better, it's got to get better. And he's got to kind of wake up to certain things. And he hasn't, and it's just got worse and worse. Poor old Douglas Alexander there, doing a really good propaganda spin job. But I don't know if he doesn't believe it himself or if he just isn't listening or talking to anyone else at all. And of course, he hasn't been in Parliament really serving under Keir's leadership. He went straight back to the front benches and doesn't realise how angry we all were anyway. So this is probably going to be, it's going to hasten the end of Keir Starmer's leadership.
Lastly, Rosie, what happens next? A
very good question. I mean, there are sort of rumours that this might be appealed, or it might be yet another government U-turn that Andy might well be allowed in when they realise the strength of anger. Who knows? I mean, Keir Starmer's days are numbered.
Rosie, always good speaking. You look after yourself. Rosie Duffield, thank you. Independent MP for Canterbury, Whitstable and the Villages in God's Own Land of Kent. Listening to that at 13 after 8. Max Wilson. Now, Max was a senior Labour Party advisor, now heads White House Communications, joins me now. Good to have you on board. Did the NEC and Sakir make the right call? Morning.
Good morning, Nick. It depends on what the objective is that you're talking about there. If the objective is to shore up Keir Starmer's leadership, then I think this was the least bad option available. There were only bad options, and this one at least rules out a very prominent critic from taking on a Keir Starmer and a leadership challenge, which is very clearly what he was going to be doing. If the objective was to win the parliamentary by-election, then I think any reasonable person would suggest that Andy Burnham probably was best placed to do that. But there was the risk of then losing the Manchester mayoral by-election. I think that is a real consideration, that at the moment there is a risk of Labour losing one by-election. If were Andy Burnham to stand, then there is a risk of Labour losing two, which I think is something that the NEC had to take into consideration.
You wear two hats here. You've been a senior Labour Party advisor. You're head of White House Communications. If I was to ask you, because it wasn't that long ago, Sakir and his troops marched into the House with a dreamlike majority, counted in its hundreds, and, quotes, look where you find yourself now. Why? Why have the wheels fallen off, Max?
That's a very complicated question, and we could probably talk about it for the rest of your show, which I'm not going to do so. I think there are a number of policy decisions, but it's the politics of it as well. Look, I think we need to be realistic that there is a lot of disgruntlement within the PLP. There is a lot of the polls are not good. So the Keir Starmer is not in a brilliant place at the moment. But by taking this move, I think was the only realistic option available to him. And I also think that any future leadership contest or any future leader that follows Keir Starmer will largely encounter many of the same problems. You know, the economy is slowly recovering, but the government is trying to strike a very difficult balancing act between making sure we're appeasing the bond markets, but also trying to repair our public services. So it's an extremely difficult act. And I think that any future leader would encounter the same problems, arguably worse. And I think that Andy Burnham would probably be in that latter camp. And I think that also most of the Parliamentary Labour Party, most of the MPs know this as well. I think that the popularity of Andy Burnham within Labour MPs is overblown. And I think you can see that from some of the messages that were coming out on Twitter last night. Sure, there were some who were angry about Keir Starmer, Andy Burnham not being able to stand. But there are also plenty of others who are saying that we didn't need this psychodrama, which the word that you used earlier, and that we don't actually, a period of stability is what's needed at the moment. And I think that after Andy Burnham's shenanigans in Liverpool last October at conference, I think there is a lot of bad blood within the PLP anyway. So I think that a lot of the supposed support for Andy Burnham is actually not about him personally. It's actually a proxy for wanting to accelerate a leadership contest and put up actual preferred candidates.
Max, thanks so much for your time. Max Wilson, former senior Labour Party advisor, head of White House Communications. It's a simple one for you to answer. Does the Prime Minister look stronger or running scared? We'll take more of your views, or we'll start with your views after the 8.15 LBC News headlines. Dominic Ellis.
The Home Secretary will promise later to make police respond quicker to 999 calls as part of sweeping new reforms. President Trump says he's reviewing everything after a man was shot and killed by federal immigration agents in Minneapolis. And speaking to Nick, a cabinet minister has dismissed claims that Andy Burnham was stopped from standing in an upcoming by-election over potential threats to Sir Keir Starmer's leadership. LBC weather cloudy but largely dry for most to start. Heavy rain and strong winds will push into the west later, a high of 10 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Long delays continue on the M25 clockwise from junction 24 at Porter's Bar to 25 at the A10. It's following an accident where two lanes stay closed. Also on the M25 over on the western stretch, it's very busy clockwise from junction 12 at the M3 to just before the M4 at junction 15. All the lanes, though, are now back open. Long delays on the M4 eastbound onto the elevated section from junction 3 at the A312. There are delays of at least half an hour, and then it's slow all the way onto the A4 to Sutton Court Road at Chiswick, where those roadworks do continue. And on the trains, Gatwick Express services are now running, but with delays of around half an hour.
This is LBC.
Sunlight's guaranteed over 50 plan. Gave confidence to Jane and Chris. With their insurance sorted, they're becoming naturists. Cutting loose in their birthday suits, feeling elegant and free. But when they answered the door, the postman saw more than he expected to see. Sunlight, a little confidence goes a long way. No medical questions and a cash payout. Search Sunlight cover today.
Premiums paid could exceed the payout. Full cover after 1 year. Ages 49 to 85.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060973. LBC.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics. With over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
For the nappies, peekaboos and tea parties. Mess, tantrums and sleepless nights. All those yo-yos, action figures and shinies. Lifts to mates, lifts to parties, lifts everywhere. For each and every one of those teenage years. Let's be honest. You probably owe your parents one. So tell them about pension credit. It could boost their pension income by an average of over £4,000 a year. Pension credit. Credit where credit's due. Eligibility criteria apply.
It might be mid-winter, but there's nothing mid about this offer. The new Samsung Galaxy S25 Ultra brings every winter sport moment to life as crisp as freshly laid snow. With its stunning 6.9-inch dynamic AMOLED display, razor-sharp resolution. But here's the real win. Claim £250 cashback. Conveniently available to spend in your Samsung wallet. Purchase before January 29th from a participating retailer. Claim on the Samsung website within 30 days of purchase. T's and C's apply.
At Ocado, you'll save 25% on your first shop and get free delivery. Which means if you were to buy a four-cheese pizza, you'd basically be getting one of the cheeses for free. Save and splurge at Ocado, the online supermarket. Geographical and other restrictions. Minimum spend £60 and charges apply. New customers only. Maximum saving £20. Terms at ocado.com.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
So let's go to the one who's been held, the caller that's been holding on the longest, Steve in Islington. Has that made him, the Prime Minister, look stronger or weaker as a result of this? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. No, it's made him look weak. He's running scared, mate. And, you know, as I said to your producer, this is a completely dismantling democracy in this country because this guy is unbelievable what he's doing. All he's doing is making sure that he can stay in for 5 years if possible. And I just hope he doesn't, quite honestly.
But don't you think it's made him so? It's made him weaker now because the civil war, which might have been rumbling, is likely just to flare in openly now. Surely,
100%, mate. Listen, I live in a Labour stronghold in Islington, and you can tell I don't vote Labour at all. Mm. And this guy is, this guy is taking this country to hell in a handcart, mate. He is ruining this country in every sense of the word. And the sooner he goes, the better.
Noting that you said you're not a Labour supporter. Were you hoping for more, and why do you think it has collapsed so spectacularly in really rather a short space of time?
Well, I don't think he's got any idea what he's doing. I think when he got voted in was quite a shock for Labour, you know what I mean? I don't think they were prepared for it.
Do you not think the polls showed, no?
No, I think the polls were simply, when you work out the amount of people that actually voted, he won simply on the number of people voting, and he won simply on the amount of people that were so fed up with Conservatives, they just voted Labour to get rid of them.
Lastly, would you have had a lot of confidence, or how much confidence would you have had if Andy Burnham had won the local by-election and then made a bid and had taken control of the party?
Well, it must be better than what's there now, mate, whatever happens, you know?
All right. Simply okay. Thank you, Steve. Coming to you, Alex, you're the next caller. I mean, just changing the name on the door, unscrewing the nameplate that says Sir Keir Rodney Starmer and putting on what that says Andrew, whatever his middle name, Burnham. You're not automatically going to put the country... It is literally just... So, are you that big a Burnham fan? Yes, he's the man who can turn it around. And it's been interesting, actually, to hear from anyone in Manchester. We probably should be patrolling the streets of Manchester. I should have thought of that. Alex in Eris, on the radio. Alex, good morning.
Morning, Nick.
Yes, sir.
You all right?
Yes, go ahead. Yes, I'm well. What about you? I trust everything all right with you, sir.
Yes, thank you. My thoughts, I've been thinking this for a long, long time. When the Labour Party got into power, I think all the left-wing MPs were all very happy to get into power.
Of course, yes. That's what they were putting on earth
waiting,
to do.
And then waiting for their opportunity to sort of like push Keir Starmer out. I'm not a fan.
Well, why
of
would
Starmer
they do that? I don't understand.
They've got into power, and then they can, they can run the party and get their policies through that they want to do with probably spending everybody's money.
Mm, okay, let me ask you this: how does he emerge then, stronger or weaker in your view, Sir Keir? That is.
Well, I think he's just followed the rules of the NEC, which is, that Andy Burnham has to apply for it. But, and who's sitting on the NEC is probably all his friends.
You're right. I'm sure they are. Although, of course, Lucy Powell voted against the Prime Minister's view. Vote coming in 8-1, I think. Alex, thank you. Charlie, you'll be the next caller on that. Just a couple of them from social media. Sylvia says, I totally agree with Douglas Alexander on your show. We need a serious leader. The media love to have psychodramas and bashing Starmer. Meanwhile, Craig in South Wales says, maybe Andy Burnham shouldn't have thrown his toys out of the pram when he lost the leadership race to Jeremy Corbyn and stayed on as an MP. Do keep them coming. Charlie, as I say, you'll be the next caller on that. But have you just dispatched your child or your children to their primary school? And are they wearing some kind of uniform? And if so, what? Well, primary schools that ditched traditional uniforms in favour of PE-style kit are reporting improvements in academic attainment, well-being and attendance, prompting calls for wider rethink of school dress codes. A growing number of head teachers across the country replace blazers and skirts and trousers with active wear, so that means like tracksuit tops and fleeced tops and sweatshirts, things like that. It removes barriers to learning and movement. Emma Cantrell is founder and chief executive of First Days, charity tackling effects of poverty on children. Where do you and your colleagues on First Days, where do you stand on the importance or otherwise of a school uniform? Good morning.
Good morning. School uniforms are important. It's often expected that we will say, get rid of them. But actually, in our society, they are a leveller as long as they are as long as they are affordable and they are, good value for money, then they do help children feel like they belong at school. They feel part of something. And, they can be very good for children. But there is, the issue of how they fit, how much they cost, and what it feels like to be in them, and whether they are, in fact, helping with their learning and their education.
So would you be more in favour of a traditional blazer and grey shorts or grey skirt or, like, tracksuit trousers and a sweatshirt?
I think there's a balance. So for primary school children, it's absolutely important that they can run and jump and do cartwheels and play on the, climbing frame and not feel inhibited by their, a skirt going over their heads or, uncomfortable shoes. That's all really, really important. I would say I don't think blazers are necessarily essential. Blazers and shirts and ties, in the office now, there's very few jobs where you have to wear that. But it is really important, especially as you move into secondary school, that young people and children do get dressed for school and they do feel smart and ready to learn. We all know that when you turn up to the office in the morning or to your workplace, if you feel, clean and well presented and ready for the day, it sets the tone. So I do think that is really important. But blazers and shirts and ties are so outdated. And, you know, a lot of the families we support might have special educational needs. And sometimes those items of clothing are the things that are stopping them from going to school. You know, we have definitely
Why would a blazer stop a child going to school? Just explain.
Well, sure, it's the comfort. So lots of children with who are neurodivergent or with additional needs struggle with the feeling of certain materials, with the expectation of having to do ties and buttons and all of those things. And it is a real barrier to getting children into school. Now, school uniform providers have been very clever and have created whole ranges which surpass those problems, but they come at a cost. And I think anything that is stopping a child from learning has got to be removed, you know, as a barrier for that child's education. So, you know, a bit more.
Oh, Emma, can you hear me? Emma? I was going to say farewell. Anyway, if you can, Emma, can I say thank you? I was about to say farewell to you. Emma Cantrell, thank you. We have lost you, but you were founder and chief executive of the charity First Days. Good luck with what you're trying to achieve there. 8:28. I was having to say farewell to Emma means I can say hello to Charlie in Reigate. Charlie, who comes out stronger from the Burnham saga in your view?
Nick. Morning, Nick.
What is that?
Nick, I'm so tired of the waffle that comes from that Secretary of State you had on, at least when Boris Johnson used to tell us a lie,
yes. At
least we used to grin and bear it, didn't we? Come on, they're like 14-year-old children getting caught smoking. Come on, listen, this is why the public have lost all confidence in the Labour Party. Listen, just listen to their lies and their waffle. Look, listen, I wouldn't waste the lead in my pencil by voting for Andy Burnham. Voting for Andy Burnham. I wouldn't even put the X on, but at least people get the opportunity to vote for who they want. We're not even getting that, are they?
Well, this is what I find incredible, that they don't allow democracy.
Lies after lies after lies. And it's not like we don't even... It's not like they're even like Boris Johnson. When he used to tell you a lie, at least he used to...
If we look at where the Labour Party is now, a lot of people seem to agree this, he's actually hastened his demise. Sakir has hastened his...
Absolute, and what an absolutely busted flush that man is. Come on, listen, you've only got to look at him standing up against Donald Trump. What an absolute... It's embarrassing, isn't it?
All right. I think plenty of people would say that Donald Trump has his moments of embarrassment as well. But Charlie, thank you. I get your views. Calls coming in also. I should have asked you the importance of uniforms. Is your child or are your children some of those at primary school who have changed from... I mean, is it a little bit outdated? A blazer and a tie and grey shorts or obviously a grey skirt or whatever it might be and a blouse now for tracksuit tops and things? Is that working better for your child or your children? Plus, created 100 years ago today, we celebrate television and all that it's given us, such as the first filmed coronation, 1953.
Riding in the gold coach of state, her husband at her side, comes Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II.
And in its latest incarnation... What an extraordinary... That's the theme from Traitors. What an extraordinary invention television has been. But I'll be asking you, when do you think was its golden age? Because people ain't watching it in the numbers they used to. It's 8:30. Breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari, here on LBC. News headlines, Dominic Ellis.
The Home Secretary is to promise later to make police respond quicker to 999 calls in England and Wales. Forces will be required to respond to emergencies within 20 minutes under strict new targets. President Trump says his administration is reviewing everything connected to the killing of a man in Minneapolis. 37-year-old Alex Pretty was shot and killed by federal immigration agents on Saturday. And a cabinet minister says the decision to ban Andy Burnham from standing in an upcoming by-election was more focused than factionalism. Speaking to Nick, Douglas Alexander dismissed claims that Mr. Burnham was stopped over potential threats to Keir Starmer's leadership. LBC weather, cloudy but largely dry for most to start. Heavy rain and strong winds will push into the west later, a high of 10 degrees.
This is LBC.
At NFU Mutual, we're celebrating. Thanks to our quality cover, efficient claims handling and personal service, we've won. I said, we've won. Not once, not twice, not three times, but four Which Insurance Brand of the Year awards. That makes NFU Mutual the first insurer ever to win 4 years in a row. For quality insurance you can rely on, search NFU Mutual.
Now, let me ask y'all a question. Are you ready to ditch the crowds and the cookie-cutter holidays? I'm talking quiet mornings spent by crystal-clear lakes, cruising across the vast landscapes of Canada and the U.S. at a leisurely pace, stopping at charming towns and saying howdy. Go deeper with littleamerica.co.uk.
Another early morning gym session skipped. Some New Year's resolutions set you up to fail, but a new Mazda CX-30 is the one you will want to keep. Available with 0% APR and a £750 deposit contribution during the Mazda January sale. Order by the 31st of January. Search Mazda. Available on PCP when financed by Mazda Financial Services by the 31st of March 26. Indemnities may be required. Terms apply. Participating dealers. See website.
At Pets in a Pickle, we know what it's like welcoming a new pet into the family. They're cute, they're chaos, and sometimes they get themselves into a pickle. That's why we offer fuss-free pet insurance policies with unlimited video call access with First Vet. For pet insurance policies as unique as they are, visit petsinapickle.co.uk.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
It has been talked about for quite some time, but now it is a reality. It being, well, probably the biggest shake-up in police and policing for quite some generations. Home Secretary Shabana Mahmood spoke yesterday about her reforms.
The reforms that we are making are actually about having a model for policing in this country that is able to keep pace with the changing nature of crime. And the changes that I'm bringing forward are not designed to put different bits of the system in competition with one another, but to actually complement each other.
And she'll be laying out more of her plans in the House of Commons at around 3:30 this afternoon. Perhaps more importantly for me, certainly, she's here tomorrow morning to take your calls. Shabana Mahmood, Home Secretary, taking your calls with Call the Cabinet exclusively here on LBC. More on that in just a moment, but I have a senior police officer standing by to give us more details. Let's turn to Chief Constable Gavin Stevens, who's chair of the National Police Chiefs Council, joining me now. Morning, sir. The newspapers are very excited about the fact that the police are being told they must get to crime scenes in 15 minutes. Or face discipline. But what do you see as the major headlines of the reforms? You're closer to it than I. Morning, Chief Constable.
Good morning. Well, this is a really important day for policing. Reform is long overdue. The last time it was looked at thoroughly was in the early 1960s. That was a time when policing didn't even have a pocket calculator at its disposal. And, of course, we now live in a world of drones and deepfakes. And this is long overdue. The important parts of it, from my perspective, I'll start with the money. At the moment, it's unfairly distributed to different places, so depending on where you live, depends on the level of service that you get. We know that the threats are rapidly changing, so at the national level, it's really important to join up our effort on that, using the best available technology that we've got to identify offenders, get justice for people and protect victims. On the response point, of course, policing respond to crises in a whole range of different ways. Now, if you're a victim of domestic abuse, it may be better to connect you with a specialist via video call in a few minutes. If you're at the scene of a missing person in the rural area, getting a drone up is also important. So how we police is changing over time as well. And as my mum said to me yesterday, well, you've got to keep up with the times, haven't you?
One should always listen to our mothers.
Indeed.
Mum always knows best, Chief Constable. I'm sure you would agree with me on that. But what about this idea that we might be looking at some sort of style of a British FBI? What do we take from that, Chief Constable?
Well, it's so much more than that. So at the minute, at the force level, so 43 forces in England and Wales, they're responsible for buying kit and equipment, sorting out the finances, doing the IT, human resources, all of those sort of things. There are many aspects of that we can do once for everybody at the national level, perhaps the most important being the consistent application of technology. We see some amazing innovations from forces at the local level, but what we struggle with is getting that rolled out consistently for everybody. I mean, probably a current example of that is facial recognition, making sure that that's widely available to everybody. Another one that really frustrates officers on the front line is how long they have to wait for digital forensics, and 90% of crimes now have got a digital footprint to them. So it's important that we get that consistent right across the UK.
How do you think the NPS, the National Police Service, will work, will function, Chief Constable?
It'll bring together, in its ultimate form, the very best of the National Crime Agency, counter-terrorism policing, what we do at the national level on serious and organised crime. But it'll also be a mechanism for setting standards for policing, so the public know what to expect, for buying goods and services. And importantly, working with industry to design out crime at source. I mean, a lot of the crimes that I dealt with earlier in my career simply don't exist anymore because we've designed them out.
And If you
look at theft of car stereos, for example, which was
I suffered it about five times, Chief.
Me too. But because that's the sort of thing of the past now, isn't it?
Right.
But in the world we live in now, we've got to find solutions to sort of online offending, serious harms against women perpetrated online. we've got to find a way to stop these offenders and work with industry to design it out at source.
Unfortunately, the world we live in now, they took my car instead of the stereo. But there we are. That's another conversation.
Yeah, but if I pick up on that in a future world, identifying the location of that car using new technology at the point that you call it in, working with the manufacturers to know that we can track it. Sometimes these things are broken down by organised criminals where we need to track those supply lines. I mean, the Commissioner, I know, has spoken to you about mobile phone theft in London.
Yep.
Obviously affects people in their local neighbourhood, but the offenders, organised groups, finding its way overseas.
How are you combating the danger that you could be spreading the resources too thin over crime categories such as people smuggling, drugs, terror and everything else? Isn't there a real danger of that, Chief Constable?
Well, there's a danger of that happening now because we're duplicating the spend on money. In the 43 model, where forces are trying to solve the same problem many times over, that does lead to some wasted resource. A national service will be able to find solutions once and then apply it to everybody consistently. At the moment, there are too many people in the system that can make decisions about whether they do or don't do something. That needs to change.
Lastly, you mentioned 43 forces on a number of occasions. It's widely predicted or has been speculated it could come down to as few as 12. How supportive of that are you? And I note that you served in very senior roles, say, in Surrey. How do the folk of Surrey, if they had to suddenly merge with, I don't know, Sussex or whatever it might be, how do you imagine that would go down? Chief Constable?
Across Surrey and Sussex, many of the services are already provided.
Yeah, but it's
jointly.
Still the Surrey crest, isn't it, when they see their bobby?
And I still wear a Surrey cap badge because I'm fiercely proud of it, you know. So,
right.
But that's what
I'm talking about, Chief Constable.
Yeah, no, what matters to people is the engagement with their team at the very local level, identifying the problems that matter to them, solving those local crime issues. People want a skilled professional turning up, and you know, if you work, say, in a homicide team across Surrey and Sussex, it's been one team for years, and just people want a skilled detective there. Right. They're not really worried which force they come from. They just want them to do a good job.
Is your mother happy with all these reforms? This is the key question.
She's a good commentator for me and keeps me on track. So,
right, if Mrs. Stevens is happy, if that's the name, I'm happy. Give my best wishes to your mother. Thanks for your time. Chief Constable Gavin Stevens chairs the National Police Chiefs Council, taking us to 8:40. More calls on Andy Burnham in a second, but we're also talking about school uniforms. And if you are just joining the show, research shows that in primary schools, I repeat, primary schools, where they've ditched the blazer and the grey shorts or the grey skirt and the tie and whatever else it might be, and kiddies can wear like tracksuit tops and fleecy tops, actually educational attainment is going up and the children seem emotionally stronger, better, resilient as well. Susan in Surrey, what do you say, Susan? Hello.
Hi there. Yes, my son has a sensory processing disorder, and this is normally around clothing. He's now 14 nearly.
Right, OK.
It's always been a problem for him. When he started his secondary school, I couldn't get him into the door in his school uniform.
Do you mind my asking, did it itch him? Did it upset him? Did the tie around his neck make him feel... Can you just break it down a bit for me?
Yeah. So he gets anything restrictive. So ties, top button done up, anything too tight, he gets really irritable. He can't cope with it, basically. And he just shuts down emotionally,
Does he shut down.
Yeah, it's quite severe.
So what does he wear to school now, then?
He wears his PE kit, and I had a discussion with the teachers about it, and initially they said that if we do it for him, we have to do it for everyone else. Mm-hmm. And my response was, if he comes to school in his school uniform, he'll learn nothing because he'll be an emotional wreck. So what's more important to you as a school, his uniform or his education? And they couldn't disagree with me, and he wears school PE kit.
And how is the boy now, both emotionally and educationally? What has that helped, or how has that helped him?
Everything. He goes to school every day, never has a day off. He's doing really well from his educational point of view. It's completely changed it for him. And so I'm really strongly believe that there needs to be change in school uniform.
And lastly, the condition he has, he'll be able to work, right? It's not...
Yes.
I mean, obviously, you have to be careful the jobs he goes for, I imagine.
Of course, yeah. But then we don't live in a world now where we're wearing ties and shirts and all that sort of thing.
If you're a judge.
Yeah, exactly.
He might not be a judge, but there'll be plenty of, or a barrister, but there'll be plenty of other work for him. We're giving my best wishes, Susan, thank you. The importance or otherwise of uniforms, 8:42. The importance of the stance taken by Sir Keir Starmer. Does he emerge stronger, a stronger Starmer, or a chicken running scared? Udi in St Albans. Which way do you call it, Udi?
Oh, morning, Nick.
Hello,
thanks
sir.
For having me.
Not at
thanks
all.
Thanks for having me.
Not at all.
He's certainly not a chicken. Listen, Nick, I'm not a fan of Sir Keir Starmer at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in my view, and this is entirely my view, this actually represents a position of strength. And you'll ask why.
Yes, please.
Now, if we cast our mind back just over a year, but just under 2 years ago, remember the sleaze, the Tory sleaze?
Yes.
It was one debacle after another debacle, one nonsense after another.
But it was a psychodrama, which surely is continuing, Udi.
No. Well, no, Nick,
okay,
you need to put an end to this nonsense. Now, all these people who are ringing and grinning about, oh, this is an attack and affront on democracy, blah, 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 I don't actually agree with that, because the NEC have applied their rules to Andy Burnham, and they've decided that he doesn't meet the mark. The rules and governance of it, you know.
No, I hear you, sir. No, it's not like they've plucked it out of the sky. You
exactly.
Just don't you think it does make him... Well, I'm not alone in thinking this. A lot of the leader writers, the opinion column writers for the paper, they say it makes him look weaker.
It doesn't, Nick. It doesn't, Nick. Listen, we need to get on with the serious business of running the government. This country is in a mess. We don't need all these Andy Burnham sideshows. It is not helping anybody.
But do you see this government actually pulling us out of the mess?
Well, Nick, you're asking a totally different question now.
Are they not linked, sir?
Well, no, they are linked, Nick. You're perfectly right to ask that question. Listen.
Yeah.
How long has this government been in place for now?
Well, it was
just
July.
Over a year.
It'll be 2 years in July. So whatever you want.
Okay.
20 months,
so
I don't know, 18
so, months. So 20. Okay, 20 months in July.
Like yeah.
Before then, the Labour government the previous Conservative government was 14 years in power.
Yeah, with a bit of Demery thrown in as well. Yeah.
Well, exactly. So you know, we've got to be realistic. This idea
let me just read you this lastly, sir, from the leader column in the Times, which I always say is not particularly politically biased. I'm sure many people think, but it's neither the Mirror nor the Mail. And I quote, "What voters, battered by taxes, inflation and economic uncertainty, as well as an extraordinarily dangerous global outlook, now demand of the Prime Minister and his Cabinet is vision, unity, determination and leadership. All are missing." They're right,
okay.
It's right, isn't it, that Times column?
Well, they are right in some aspects, yes. There is a degree of a lack of a vision and, to some extent, leadership. But, you know, we've got to give this government a chance. We can't keep flip-flopping. Okay, right, Nick.
Hang on. You say we can't keep flip-flopping. Lastly, Udi, they've had 13 U-turns. We're not the flipper-floppers. They
it
are
shows
the
that listening. No, Nick, it shows that listening. Yes, that is.
Oh,
listening.
My God, it shows...
Nobody is perfect.
Nick,
seriously, though, right? If you make a mistake, and you recognize you've made a mistake, and you move forward, clearly they have not come up with the best ideas. I give you that. All right, they haven't come up with the best ideas. And quite frankly, some of the ideas are bizarre and ridiculous.
Yeah.
But okay, they've been elected into place, they've got 5 years. If they make a mess of it, then you put them out in 5 years. End of.
Well, I don't know if people are that patient, and You say it shows they're listening, but my goodness, what are they actually? Is the policy that they can hang their proverbial hat on? Uday, I have enjoyed our conversation, but we're going late and I can't let that happen, so I must end there. I look forward to speaking to you again. Coming up after the news, let's get into the financial details of this country. Last week, inflation rose, albeit not by a huge amount, but up to 3.4% from 3.2%. Chancellor Rachel Reeves said...
Inflation was expected this month to increase slightly. That was the Bank of England forecast. The Bank of England also clear that they expect inflation to return to the 2% target by late spring, early summer.
And what are the chances of that? Well, studying the looking glass and drilling through is Andy Haldane, the former chief economist at the Bank of England. You'll get his verdict after this. We've got to 8:47. LBC News headlines. Dominic Ellis.
The Home Secretary will promise later to make police respond quicker to 999 calls as part of sweeping new reforms. President Trump says he's reviewing everything after a man was shot and killed by federal immigration agents in Minneapolis. And speaking to Nick, a cabinet minister has dismissed claims that Andy Burnham was stopped from standing in an upcoming by-election over potential threats to Keir Starmer's leadership. LBC weather cloudy but largely dry for most to start. Heavy rain and strong winds will push into the west later, a high of 10 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Long delays continue on the M25 clockwise from Junction 12 at the M3 to just after Junction 14 at Heathrow. It's following an accident that happened earlier. All the lanes have been open for a while. And also on the M25, there were delays clockwise from Junction 24 at Potter's Bar to 25 at the A10. And that's also after an accident, but all the lanes are back open. On the A13, there are severe delays going eastbound to Barking because of an accident where two lanes stay closed. Also, the roadworks on the A4 eastbound continue at Sutton Court Road at Chiswick, and that's causing delays back onto the M4 from Heston Services. And on the trains, Gatwick Express services are delayed by about half an hour.
LBC.
Right, I've attached panel 1A to panel 3B.
I think that's panel 5B. Or is it just upside down?
Let's see the picture again.
Okay.
Done! Ah, wait. Do you think this bit was important? Is that what...
No, don't... Flat pack furniture is hard work. Switching your bank account won't be. We'll automatically move your regular payments over when you switch with the current account switch service.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. This is LBC.
Unfold a world of on-the-go entertainment with the Samsung Galaxy Z Fold 7. The massive 8-inch main screen means you'll see the bigger picture as every exciting moment unfolds. Share every highlight and keep the whole family entertained wherever you go. Buy yours now and claim £300 cashback. Conveniently available to spend in your Samsung wallet. Purchase before January 29th from a participating retailer. Claim on the Samsung website within 30 days of purchase. T's and C's apply.
There's one green bottle sat on my fridge shelf. This green and white bottle that supports my gut health. Beautiful by nature, biotiful by name. It's the tastiest way to up my gut health game.
Biotiful Gut Health. Upgrade your yogurt to the UK's number one kefir and reset your gut health with Biotiful. Kefir is a source of calcium which contributes to the normal function of digestive enzymes. For verification of UK's number one kefir, see biotifulguthealth.com/radio.
It took me less than 30 seconds to request my repeat prescription on the NHS app.
It's quicker than making this brew.
And I save time by not ringing the GP practice.
Win.
Plus, with notifications turned on, I know as soon as I get a new message.
Big win.
So there's more time for this tea break.
So did you go to that restaurant?
It was so
good. We're delivering an NHS fit for the future. Request repeat prescriptions and turn on notifications to never miss a message. Tap the NHS app.
During the Air France rendezvous, take advantage of great offers. Until the 27th of January, book your flight to Dubai from £399 or Hong Kong from £589. From London Heathrow via Paris, return including tax. And from the 29th of March, you can reach Paris and beyond with our new flights from London Gatwick. Elegance is a journey. Air France. To book and for terms and conditions, visit airfrance.co.uk.
At Lidl, get great deals on award-winning fruit and veg with Pick of the Week. Save up to 35% with cauliflower now just 99p each. And with Lidl Plus, get red grapefruit for only 29p. In store now. Lidl, more to value. Limited offer subject to availability. Selected stores, GB only. Prices correct on 20th of the 1st. 18 plus terms apply. See lidl.co.uk/lptv.
Check your retirement savings are on track with PensionBee's easy-to-use app. Because when your pension is in a good place, you're in a good place. When investing, your capital is at risk.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
9 minutes before nine is the time. Right, let's press pause on our political conversation and move into the world of finance and money. And welcome to the studio, Andy Haldane, good friend to this show. Andy, of course, is former chief economist at the Bank of England, and he spoke to us in that role. He was chief executive of the IRSA, and he spoke to us in that role. And he is soon to become president of the British Chambers of Commerce. In fact, I've got a note, as soon as next month. Is that right? Andy Haldane, welcome to the studio.
Start of February, Nick. Start morning.
That's Sunday by my
book. That's right.
Yes, it is.
That's right, next week.
Right. What is the role of the President of the British Chambers of Commerce? What powers do you have?
Well, the power to listen to business. Very important when getting a sense of the temperature of the economy. In my previous gig at the bank, the most interesting and important thing I did was getting around the country listening to business. I will do that in this role. And secondly, Nick, crucially right now, business has a leadership role to play in getting growth going. Too little sign of leadership from the body politic. Can business play a bigger role? Should it play a bigger role in getting growth going, in speaking with one voice and doing things? Yes, it could, and yes, it should.
What do you hope to learn from your nationwide tour? What sort of industries will you literally be down on the farm and in with tractor makers and out with shipbuilders and whatever else it might be?
Yeah, that's the way you take the temperature of the economy. That is the economy. The numbers give you a window on the world, Nick, but speaking to businesses for a couple of days gives you the colour, the texture of what's really happening. And they'll also tell you what's not happening, what's getting in the way, what needs to change policy-wise to get this economy, which has been stuck in the mud for two decades, going and growing.
What does success look like in your new gig?
It means the economy and business thriving in a way that's not been true largely this century so far. And, you know, a lot of focus is on what government can and should be doing. But let's be clear, the engine of the economy is business. If that isn't thriving, the economy will not grow, and that's why it's so crucially important.
How receptive will they be at number 11 to you and your entreaties?
Well, time will tell on that front. My job is to speak truth to power about what needs doing, and not just speak to do. The key thing about business is that it does run things, right? If we can get business together to do things as well as say things, then we have a chance, I think, of getting growth going.
We haven't spoken about the state of the British economy for some time. If you were a consultant or a doctor and you're poring over its charts and blood pressure and God knows what else, blood works, how is it looking?
Look, sickly and slightly depressed. And what we've seen, you know, last year, sort of year of two halves, really, looked a bit perkier in the first half of the year and then sort of flatlined for the second half, largely by dint of a long and leaky budget process. That's now behind us. There's a chance this year we can get growth going again if interest rates start falling, which they should, if the government stops making foot faults on policy, which I hope for, if business can get behind. So I'm hopeful for this year that it'll be a better year than last, but nonetheless, is the UK economy still flying below its cruising altitude, Nick? Yes, it is.
What should those interest rate cuts be and when?
Well, the sooner the better, and the big figure needs to be two rather than three over the course of this year. You mentioned inflation.
So you want to end 26 at two?
Two and something, rather than three and something.
Right. Two and change.
I think the inflation genie is back in the bottle very largely, albeit
we had a blip.
It had a blip.
So when Rachel Reeves says, don't worry about it, it's a blip, on this you would probably concur.
I would, as would my former employees at the Bank of England. We see wage pressures coming down, which is the key metric of underlying inflation pressures, and that ought to be the cue for the bank getting on its bike and getting interest rates down. That will help the economy. We now have wages running ahead of prices still, which is more money in people's pockets, which we hope they will now spend.
Sure.
I think the great unknown, of course, is whether policy or policy uncertainty, whether geopolitically or domestically, gums up the works in the same way as happened in 2024 with the first budget and 2025 with the second budget of this government.
How is growth achieved, Andy?
By enabling and empowering business and local leaders.
Coming to your new role.
And neither of which is currently happening sufficiently, I would say. It does require government to pick and stick and operate at scale. Let me give an example of that, Nick. You know, everyone would agree the world's a much more insecure place. We have now set out a very sedate path for increasing defence spending, which is where the line of what the world and the UK needs, you know, from 2.3 to 2.5 and to 3.5 within 10 years. That's far too slow. We could use defence as our centrepiece of a growth and jobs strategy. We could take those almost 1 million 16 to 24-year-olds, currently neither working nor seeking work in many cases, and have them as part of a reserve army to bump up our... These are all...
Of course, you have them build tanks and other things.
Completely.
Yeah, go on.
Whether it's heavy metal or
it's
software.
Yeah.
And you make that the centrepiece of a national growth and security strategy pursued at scale and for the longer term. It creates jobs. It creates growth. It stimulates business. And it creates that sense of optimism and vision that has been sorely lacking throughout the 18 months of this government so far.
Coming back to your role as a consultant, viewing the patient, is growth effectively the blood pressure, whatever it might be, or the heartbeat of the patient? Is growth everything to a nation's futures and fortunes?
Well, it's I would define it in terms of, less in terms of the national. I mean, GDP and all that sounds terribly arid and remote to most people. This is about you in your individual lives feeling better off than your kids. This is the first generation, Nick, for 200 years, for whom the kids are less well off than
I
their
know.
Parents.
I heard you make that point at the RSA. Yeah.
And that is, you know, that feels wrong. It is wrong. Mm. So progress, growth starts with people. It then spreads to communities and then shows up at the national level. It starts from the bottom.
Well, the point you made in that speech, I remember, is that we don't belong to societies or churches or whatever it might be, like they did in years past.
That's
and
right.
That is often... this is your speech. So nice if you say that's right.
Yeah.
You say, but that is a symbol, really, of
a lack of cohesion. Yeah. A detachment.
That's what.
From your community. And that's why, you know, we've got 500,000 young people who are neither seeking work nor training. They are out of society. The means of bringing them back in, including through youth clubs and football clubs, but including ultimately through work. And what better mechanism for mobilising the masses and creating jobs than to meet our near-term security and growth needs, Nick?
If this is going to work, obviously, we need those at the top to be able to deliver. Your level of confidence in both Sir Keir Starmer and Chancellor Rachel Reeves, who you obviously know quite well.
Well, I mean, the record so far is not a good one.
No.
I wouldn't put all of that at the door of numbers 10 and 11. I think we have a cabinet that lacks experience in running things. I think we have a civil service that lacks experience in running things. And that's why a bigger burden, bigger role, leadership-wise, needs to go to businesses who are used to running things and getting stuff done, and that's why the Chambers of Commerce role is for me so important in leading the growth charge.
But you know what, Andy, if you and I were in the hospitality sector, if we ran a chain of pubs or a chain of restaurants, if we're in the farming game, you would say, not only are they not listening, they seem to be going out of their way to make life as difficult as they can for us. Isn't that what we'd be saying?
Yeah, there's no nose for business, I think, within little nose for business in this government, no sense of what works. We've seen a whole sequence of, you mentioned the 13 U-turns, many of those have been failures of design. And business rates is a case in point. They haven't fully fathomed the consequences for business before they've announced, and that's been a big mistake. How bizarre, you know, Labour MPs banned from pubs, imagine that. And restaurants coming soon, probably. So, yes, that requires a surer touch and greater experience.
But you still have faith they could deliver?
Yes, they can. That will certainly require a change of policy. It will certainly require a definition of strategy and may well require a change of personnel.
Lastly, the Prime Minister is off to China. There are a lot of charities and organisations saying we should not have a close relationship with what they see as a rather dictatorial regime. What's the reality of world and trade, Andy?
Well, the reality is that both this government, indeed this country, is lacking friends right now, trade and otherwise. And building bridges with China does make sense. There are cautionary lessons from Canada, of course, that built some bridges and then found Mr. Trump threatening 100% tariffs. So tread carefully. But of course, looking to places where we can export more, including China, will be important. I applaud that effort.
Did you enjoy your brief time off?
I did, apart from the cricket, Nick.
You went to Australia.
Yeah, rather like the government, you know, lacking strategy, frustrating, lack of consistency and a failure to deliver. So, Australia, wonderful. Yeah. English cricket and our growth strategy.
This isn't a pitch for Howball, is it? You don't want to run the cricket.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Although, never say never, Nick.
Hey, best of luck. Good to see you again. Best wishes to your family. New president of the, well, as of February the 1st, president of the British Chambers of Commerce, Andy Haldane, appearing here on LBC. Always good to have you, Andy. Thank you. Two after nine. Let's get the latest headlines.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom, the Home Secretary, Shabana Mahmood, is to promise to make police respond quicker to 999 calls as part of major reforms. Forces in England and Wales will be required to respond to emergencies within 20 minutes. Government changes also include the creation of a new national police service like the FBI. Chair of the National Police Chiefs Council, Gavin Stevens, has told Nick reform is long overdue.
The important parts of it, from my perspective, I'll start with the money. At the moment, it's unfairly distributed to different places, so depending on where you live, depends on the level of service that you get. We know that the threats are rapidly changing. On the response point, of course, policing respond to crises in a whole range of different ways. How we police is changing over time as well. And as my mum said to me yesterday, well, you've got to keep up with the times, haven't you?
Former Presidents Bill Clinton and Barack Obama have urged Americans to speak out following the shooting of a man by ICE agents in Minneapolis. There have been protests across the US after immigration agents shot and killed Alex Pretty on Saturday. Border officials insist they acted in self-defense, but local authorities question the threat he posed. There are calls from some Labour MPs to reverse the decision to block Andy Burnham from standing in an upcoming by-election. The party's ruling body says it was due to concerns about the cost of fighting a mayoral race in Greater Manchester. Ministers have dismissed claims that Mr Burnham was stopped over a potential threat to Keir Starmer's leadership. Former Labour, now independent MP, Rosie Duffield, has told Nick she believes Keir is losing backbench support.
The senior backbenchers who were there when Keir was made leader have never been entirely behind him. He's had nearly six years of basically ignoring backbenchers, and that sort of resentment has been growing. So it was bad anyway. It feels in Parliament that it's now febrile. I mean, the anger and the distrust, this has just made it so much worse.
The NHS in England is improving the sensitivity of bowel cancer screenings. It's hoped it'll pick up thousands more cases that could be prevented or caught early. And politicians in France are to debate whether or not to ban social media for under-15s. President Emmanuel Macron wants to fast-track the legal process so it can be brought in by September. A similar move for under-16s is being considered in the UK. In the city a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading up six at 10,150. The pound buys $1.36 and €1.15. LBC weather, cloudy but largely dry for most to start. Heavy rain and strong winds pushing into the west later, a high of 10 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission, and it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible, and make a claim with HMRC for free online. Just search Don't Get Caught Out.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning, 5 minutes after nine, Monday, January the 26th. As it is reported that working class people are struggling to break into certain sectors of employment, particularly arts and media worlds, it's suggested class should become a protected characteristic. Working class. Here we go. How would you define working class? Plus, to those events over in the United States, U.S. Secretary of Homeland Security Kristi Noem said yesterday,
an individual approached U.S. Border Patrol officers with a 9mm semi-automatic handgun.
The officers attempted to disarm this individual, but the armed suspect reacted violently.
Palpably not true if you see any of the video. You don't need any video suddenly to emerge. It's from the very first viewing of the very first frame that they overreacted. Now you have a number of former presidents, Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, talking about this dangerous moment, a wake-up call. What needs to happen next? What does it say of the Trump administration? Why is the Trump administration continuing to call the man, the poor victim, an assassin? Staying with American matters, do you remember we learned on Friday that President Trump exists on a total hamburger diet? Fried fish, hamburgers, Pepsi, Coke, whatever it might be. So what's it like spending a weekend doing that? LBC's Henry Riley has done just that and will file his report, his hamburger diet. And we celebrate 100 years of TV. Here's the launch of the BBC television service in 1936.
Vision and sound are on. The station goes on the air.
A mighty maze of mystic magic rays.
Now that was, of course, the comedy star, musical comedy star, Adele Dixon. And somehow it's got to... descended to something where a so-called celebrity eats a kangaroo's anus is anyone's bet, but we'll chart the rise and fall of TV.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
How to define working class? Are you working class? I know I'm not, because my father was quite a successful journalist. And I'm happy to say that I'm middle class. I was also educated primary, which almost immediately takes you out of being working class, doesn't it? How would you define working class? Because there is a movement afoot now to make it a protected characteristic, much as perhaps your skin colour might be, or your face, or whatever it might be, or indeed your sexuality, for that matter. This comes as a new report says working class people are struggling to break into the worlds of arts and media. Therefore, the sector is dominated, it says here, by the middle class and London. I don't know about TV, you know. Arts, I'm not particularly familiar with the world of art. I don't know much about art, but I know what I like. But that's possibly true, I don't know. But if you are a working class person, what makes you a working class person? So, an organisation, Class Ceiling, is saying class should become a protected characteristic, similar to race, religion or sex. Then the sector will become more balanced. The report that I'm quoting from is the result of the review into the arts sector in Greater Manchester, led by the Chancellor of the University of Manchester, Nazir Afzal, and Avis Gilmore, who's former Deputy General Secretary of the NEU. Now, class has always fascinated me, and I think possibly fascinated quite a lot of people in this country. It's probably fair to say, having had the opportunity of both living and working in the United States and in Australia, class plays a bigger role here than I recall it ever doing, certainly in the US, and I don't recall it in Australia, but I was very young, and than it ever did in any of those other two countries in which I live. So I do think there's something to it. But how are we going to define class? Who could we turn to? Oh, I know. What about the Prime Minister, when Leader of the Opposition? And I asked him in 2023 what it meant to be working class.
Working class is families that... you know, work for their living, earn their money through going out to work every day, not through other means.
Not middle classes do that?
Well, working class families have the ordinary hope to get on in life. I mean, this has been
don't
a story...
Don't middle classes have that
yeah,
as
of course
well?
They do. Of course they do.
So what's the distinction?
People will say to me, well, look here, you know, you've come a long way.
Yeah. You went to state school.
Yeah, but that is the ordinary hope of the working class, which is to have a decent education, to get a decent secure job, to get a car, to get a, you know, have a nice holiday, to have
Isn't that the middle class too, Sir Keir? Everything you just listed? No?
It is. Yeah, it is. And that's why many people go on their life journey from what you might call working class to middle class.
And I should have prefaced it, this was after he continually told us he was the son of a toolmaker and tried to really parade his working class background. What is class and is it important? So that's the Prime Minister's attempt. Working class people who go out to work. Well, I go out to work. Who want to get on in life. Well, I want to get on in life and I'm not pretending I'm working class. Dr. Lisa McKenzie, a senior inequality lecturer at the University of Bedfordshire. Doctor, thank you for your time this morning. You won't envy me for this question, but how would you define working class? Good morning.
Good morning, and obviously I can do that a lot better than Keir Starmer.
Can you run the country? Is there any chance you could do that this afternoon?
Do you know what? In my head, I've been running the country for about 40 years, right. So I couldn't do a worse job, actually, I think.
Let's start with working class. Here we go, Doctor.
Well, I am working class. I grew up in a coal mining community in Nottinghamshire. My dad was a coal miner. My mum was a factory worker. When I left school at 16 in 1984, as my dad went on strike as a coal miner, I went to work in the factory alongside my mum and my aunties, and I was there for 12 years.
But you're a lecturer at university. You are obviously a very well-educated woman, so you can still be working class and a lecturer. A senior lecturer.
Yeah, because one of the things that I've always said, because, again, this is quite shocking to people, saying, well, you've got a PhD. And it's like, well, working class people can read books and working class people can write books too. So the issue around class is about opportunity.
So it's where you come from, not where you're going to.
Yes, it is definitely where you come from, but it is also the root of where you go as well. And also being very honest about class, because very few working class, especially now, social mobility is a standstill. If you look at the stats and the figures now, if you are born into a working class community now, because of social mobility is at a standstill, you are going to stay as a working class person all your life. So let me just have a quick throw out of class means.
Go ahead, please.
So there's 4 points to being working class. This is from a French theorist called Pierre Bourdieu.
Okay.
He wrote about class for many years, public intellectual in France.
One.
He says that, one, it's obviously economic capital, that you have access to lots of economic capital. Number two, and this is for you to be sort of middle class, upper class. Number two, you have access to social capital. That means you've got access to people who can help you along with your career, influence you, help you, give you a leg up. You know, you've got a
Is that the old boys network, as it's once called?
Yeah, that's the old boys network. That's number two. Number three is called cultural capital. That's education. Also, your access to the arts, to culture, to high arts, to high culture. And the last one is symbolic capital. And that's what happens when you've got access to all of these things. So you are symbolically respected. If you have very little of all of that, and they all interconnect, then you are at the bottom, you are working class. And class is also, it's a power relationship between classes.
Should it be a protected characteristic, as in religion or race?
Yes, in 2016, I was one of those expert witnesses at a select committee in Parliament where they asked us this question about class and should low socioeconomic background be protected. I said yes.
Okay.
And that was in 2016, and they've never done anything about that. And what we've got today, and let me just throw this last thing at you.
Okay, sorry.
Is over the last 20 years, we've had lots of EDI, haven't we? That if you're black, if you're... So you cannot be discriminated against if you have a protected characteristic. However, if you are white and working class, you have no protection at all. So it's no surprise to any of us that white working class people now are being discriminated
against. Final question. Your lovely dad was a coal miner, your mum was a factory worker, you say that's what kind of informs you. Let me paint this a different way. So you have a man whose father was a doctor and whose mother was a dentist. He drops out of school, doesn't do anything with his life, but is happy and is one of the great army of people who every morning gets up and drives a bus or drives a train. Despite his background, he's working class now, isn't he?
Yeah, he's working class, but what he is
so you can change.
Yes, he's downwardly socially mobile. Now that's because that's an example. It's also very rare because
downwardly.
Yeah. Because doubt, because you are more likely to stay where you are than be the move up or down.
Really enjoyed our conversation. Doctor, I must leave it there. Thank you for your input. Lisa McKenzie, Senior Inequality Lecturer at University of Bedfordshire, hearing from academic and author Joanna Williams after the 9:16 LBC News headlines that are read by Dominic Ellis.
Home Secretary Shabana Mahmood is to promise to make police respond quicker to 999 calls later as part of major reforms. Former Presidents Bill Clinton and Barack Obama have urged Americans to speak out following the shooting of a man by ICE agents in Minneapolis. And there are calls from some Labour MPs to reverse the decision to block Andy Burnham from standing in an upcoming by-election. LBC weather cloudy but largely dry for most to start. Heavy rain and strong winds pushing into the west later. A high of 10 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Still quite a few problems on the trains. Gatwick Express services, they are running, but with delays of about half an hour. Southern also delayed between Streatham Common and South Croydon, and that was after that investigation from earlier. Also, the delays continue for Thameslink and South Eastern. They are disrupted westbound between Dartford and London Bridge. The train's having to be diverted via Bexley Heath, and that's because a train broke down earlier. On the motorways, it's still very busy on the M25 clockwise at Junction 23 at South Mimms after an accident, and also delays clockwise from junction 13 at Staines to 15 at the M4 after an accident. The A4 eastbound at Sutton Court Road in Chiswick has some roadworks in place. One lane is closed and there are severe delays.
LBC.
Come on, quick, we have to run.
Wait, what? Run to where?
The mini sale event. Keep up.
What? Huh?
The mini sale event. Savings across the range, even on the iconic Mini Cooper.
Whoa!
And that's on top of all existing offers.
Right, let's pick up the pace.
The mini sale event. Amazing offers to act fast on. 5th to the 9th of February at your local mini retailer. Applicable on new mini orders placed during the sale event and registered by the 30th of June 2026. Visit mini.co.uk/sale event.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060973. LBC.
Sunlight's guaranteed over 50 plan gave confidence to Jane and Chris. With their insurance sorted, they're becoming naturists. Cutting loose in their birthday suits, feeling elegant and free. But when they answered the door, the postman saw more than he expected to see. Sunlight, a little confidence goes a long way. Affordable cover with a cash payout. Search Sun Life cover today.
Premiums paid could exceed the payment. Full cover after 1 year. Ages 49 to 85.
Hiya, Kenny the hamster here. Proud pet of Doug and Carol. Hey up. Looks like my mum Carol's off out with the girls again. I tell you, since she took that quick NHS Healthy Choices quiz, she's drinking less, but going out more. And to think, she thought being healthy would mean being boring. You might want to give it a go yourself.
Go, girlfriend!
Take your first little step to healthy. Search NHS Healthy Choices quiz to get a score and a simple plan to follow.
At Lidl, get great deals on award-winning fruit and veg with Pick of the Week. Save up to 35% with cauliflower now just 99p each. And with Lidl Plus, get red grapefruit for only 29p. In store now. Lidl, more to value. Limited offer subject to availability. Selected stores, GB only. Prices correct on 20th of the 1st. 18 plus terms apply. See lidl.co.uk/lptv.
Check you're on track for a happy retirement with PensionBee's easy-to-use app. Because when your pension is in a good place, you're in a good place. When investing, your capital is at risk.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
Right, let's start with a big thank you. That's to my next guest, Joanna Williams, who's very kindly held on. I hope I've not inconvenienced your morning. Joanna is an academic, author and columnist joining me now to discuss this idea of working class. First off, do you want to have a go at defining, or are you going to be smarter than the PM and say, thanks, Nick, but no, I don't want to have a go at defining such an intangible idea? Morning to you.
Good morning, Nick. It's great to be with you. I actually think Lisa did a really great job of defining class. And I think the things that she was pointing at, that different mixture of how much money you've got, both in terms of your income, but also family background and money, your education, your familiarity with kind of high culture. I think that mixture of all of those things really is what goes together to define class. So it is a complicated thing. And I think crucially, it is also a fluid thing. It is something that we move in and out of over the course of our lives. Although there are obviously more difficulties and disadvantages the lower you start from in life.
Might I ask you if you're happy to share what your dad did and what mum did?
Yeah, certainly so. I grew up in Middlesbrough, one of five kids. My dad was either a labourer or unemployed variously throughout my childhood. My mother mostly stayed at home. She had cleaning jobs and then went to be a student at university herself.
I don't know whether you...
No, I was going to say, so I guess by all of those backgrounds, you know, I would definitely be classed as working class.
Do you think of yourself as working class, Joanna?
No, I mean, I did until fairly recently, but now I just think it would be a bit of a fraud for me as a university lecturer, you know, newspaper columnist, to go around still saying that I'm working class, which is not to mean to say it hasn't shaped me as an identity, not to say I haven't had experiences in my life. Certainly working at a university, I remember in the first couple of years I was there, a more senior member of staff commenting on the way I dressed, students at the school I taught at picking me up on the way I pronounced certain words. And all of those things come from my background, I guess. But it would be a big fraud for me to say that I was working class now. You know, I can earn a decent salary either as an academic or an author. And, you know, I've been very, very lucky, and it's social mobility.
So, Joanna, what about the idea of it becoming effectively a protected characteristic? Where are you on that idea?
I really don't like this idea, because I think what it does is it confirms something which people have moved out of. Unlike Keir Starmer, you know, I don't want to be in my 50s saying my dad was a labourer, my dad was a labourer. That doesn't define who I am now. I want to be much more defined by kind of where I'm going and what I'm doing in my life since my childhood. And I think it will benefit some people who have come from working class backgrounds but have done well for themselves and now have nice posh jobs in the arts. You know, they will be able to say, well, I've got this protected characteristic, so I've got this victim statement. Mm. Meanwhile, kids who are growing up on council estates in Middlesbrough, Nottingham, wherever, who are not going to great schools, have not got these advantages, it's not going to benefit them one bit, being able to say, I've got a protected characteristic. It just puts this victim label onto people, and I think it will actually confirm the disadvantage of some.
All right, Joanna, I have enjoyed our conversation. I hope I haven't inconvenienced you by asking you to hold on. Thank you, Joanna Williams, academic, author and columnist. Let's come to your views. Katie in Edgware, working class, you know what you earn by the hour. Middle class, you know what you earn by the year. Leaf in Belfast, I think working class is when you work for your money as opposed to your money working for you. That's a couple of very interesting ones just off the top. Andrew in Bexley. Andrew, how would you define working class, and does it need to be a protected characteristic, as it were? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Thank you. Lovely to chat to you. I actually spoke to you about something like this about 6 months ago, where we were talking about working class people coming through into the creative industries, and I am one of those people, which I think is... I just thought I'd offer a point of view on that, if you don't mind.
Please.
But equally, just to answer your question, I do feel it should be protected, but I think it's on me to protect it. So in my 30s, I would be quite reticent to talk about my background. I'm from a council estate, Manchester.
Right.
Was a bit rough and ready as a young lad, you know, as we often are, and as we get up to all sorts. But I would kind of use it as a defence mechanism. If things weren't going well in my career, well, it's because of that. If things weren't going right, in other words, it's because of this. I was anchored to it. About 35, I started to properly own it, understand who I was, what that meant to me, and then really start to lean into it and use it as a bit of a coat of armour, a bit of a virtue. My regional accent's quite interesting in my work.
In what way?
I think it just means, I think sometimes, and I'll say this and you can correct me if you disagree, but it can be quite disarming to have a nice regional accent, and people are quite interested in my background when I speak now, because I move in different kind of circles, if you like. I suppose I wouldn't be classed as working class these days. But
do you have children, Andrew?
I have two, yeah.
What class would you say your children might be?
I would say they're middle, given earnings and things that we have.
Right.
But my parents didn't own houses. My dad was a truck driver.
Right.
My mum was a nurse and she worked in a salon. So I flunked university. I got in because I was a single mum, earned below the poverty line, and the Labour government at that time allowed me in. Otherwise, I'm still on that estate. I don't leave.
Well, that is the benefit of university education, of course, which can't be afforded to all people now. Andrew, I have to leave it there. Best wishes to your family and to your children. Thank you. Good to hear from you again. We'll take more calls on this. But we are celebrating an anniversary because 100 years ago today, and there will be a special ceremony, a certain instrument flickered into its first life. It was called television. And 10 years later...
Vision and sound are on. The station goes on the air.
Almighty Maze of Mystic Magic Ray.
Tonight, 7:15, September 22nd, 1955, we add another sentence to the long history of London.
Riding in the gold coach of state, her husband at her side, comes Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II.
So after its invention, BBC TV launched in 36, ITV 1955, and of course that coronation was in 1953. And now we've come to... If you're struggling, by the way, those were the theme music for I'm a Celebrity, Love Island and The Traitors. How did it sink to that? Well, a special ceremony takes place later today in London, and joining me with more details now is Ian Logie Baird, curator, writer and grandson of the great John Logie Baird, the Scottish inventor who gave the world's first public demonstration of TV 100 years ago today. And you're going to the very, if I may call you Ian, you're going to the very site today. Ian, what is it, where will you be and what is taking place? Good morning to you.
Oh, good morning, Nick. So what is taking place today is we're having a special event at the 22 Frith Street restaurant, Little Italy, which is the in the building where my grandfather first publicly demonstrated television 100 years ago.
Unfortunately, you didn't know Granddad, and unfortunately, I've done some research, he died at a very young age. But what have you picked up about him down the years?
I think the thing that I've learned is persistence in the face of adversity, because his health really was, I think, part of his development, his formative years. He had a childhood illness at age 2, and we in the family have never 100% figured out what it was, but it made him very susceptible to colds and flus, and he wasn't able to get into World War I. So he ended up working in a power station and catching colds there. So it wasn't really the best job for him. And so he thought, I have to invent something. And so that was what led him onto the course of running his own businesses. But he'd also done a degree in electrical engineering at Strathclyde University. So he had that knowledge. And then he eventually put the two things together, the entrepreneurship and the television, to develop the technology.
Unfortunately, the world lost him, as I say, as a young man in the mid-40s, so he didn't really see television evolve. But did he give any comment on what he thought of the early days of the BBC or any of the other broadcasting, Ian?
Yeah, well, his health is what kind of led to his early passing. He developed a heart condition, and that was what he dictated the memoir in 1941. But the technology that... The growing up with him as my grandfather, I think, has made me more interested in television history than the average person, obviously. And he's made a contribution to television. For the BBC, his system was used from 1929 to 1935, and it was also part of the competition at Alexander Palace.
Oh.
And I think what it did was, although his system didn't get carried forward, he spurred a lot of experimentation by other scientists and other companies. When he was demonstrating the first television system, that once they knew it would work, the kind of a competition started, not just within different companies, but also within different countries to see who was going to have a broadcast television first. And it kind of did end up being the UK for that reason, I think, because he invented it here.
Lastly, when you give your name, and it's a very distinctive name, when people realize who you are, that your granddad invented or put together an invention that has traveled the world, that is to be found in every corner. What do people say? Oh my God! Your granddad invented telly. How do you respond to it?
Well, I think it's an honor in some ways, but then you think about some of, like you're saying, some of the shows aren't that great. But the nature of television is that
Very diplomatic.
It has an appetite. Television, if you're filling all these hours of content, with content of some kind. Yeah. And I think that's been the nature of television. It's been a sort of low-pressure medium, which combines some of the aspects of radio and cinema. Mm-hmm. And it's so ubiquitous now. It's an immersive environment. It's very difficult to see an immersive environment. It disappears. So the way to understand it really is to go outside the environment. So one of the metaphors that Marshall McLuhan used to use was the goldfish bowl, and that if you the goldfish bowl doesn't understand the importance of water until you take it out of the water, and then it realizes what water.
Okay, all right.
And the ubiquity of TV today is like that. But you understand it when you look at the beginning and the invention. That's when you understand its effects, because you've got the figure and ground as separate things. And so people are reacting to television as the new thing. And it's difficult for us to do that now, because it's very much not a new thing. It was a mass medium in the 50s, and the technology was actually 30 years before that, which is quite amazing.
Grateful for your time, Ian Logie Baird. Thank you, curator, writer, grandson of John Logie Baird, the inventor who gave television. The site there, Little Italy on Frith Street in Soho, will be given a World Origin Site plaque later today at that ceremony. Hope everything goes well for all of you. What an invention that was. Coming up after the news, we'll come back to trying to define working class and whether it matters, and then later in the hour...
Living like a president. Since Friday, my diet's consisted of burgers, fries, washed down with Diet Coke and milkshake. I'm LBC's Henry Riley, and find out how I got on with the Trump diet.
He did look a bit bloated in the newsroom today, I'm not going to lie. You're listening to Breakfast with me... Actually, he always looks a bit bloated. You're listening to Breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari, here on LBC. The 9:30 News, Dominic Ellis.
Former Presidents Bill Clinton and Barack Obama have urged Americans to speak out following the shooting of a man by ICE agents. There have been protests across the US after immigration officers shot and killed Alex Pretty in Minneapolis on Saturday. A new national target for police response times in emergencies will be brought in as part of major reforms. Forces in England and Wales will be required to respond to emergencies within 20 minutes. And there are calls from some Labour MPs to reverse their decision to block Andy Burnham from standing in an upcoming by-election. The party's ruling body says it's due to concerns about the cost of fighting a mayoral race in Greater Manchester. LBC weather, cloudy but largely dry for most to start today. Some heavy rain and strong winds will push in from the west. Later, a high of 10 degrees.
This is LBC.
So, what's on your to-do list today? Why don't you check if you're eligible for pension credit? It tops up your pension income and also opens up help with heating bills, council tax, and more. Search pension credit on gov.uk or call 0800 99 1234. There's nothing to lose. Check today. Pension credit. Credit where credit's due. Eligibility criteria apply.
When you're smiling, when you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you.
Life feels better with a smile. Banning Dental Group Clinics. Modern, comfortable, and affordable dentistry for all. See online for our price match promise. Keep on smiling.
Keep on smiling.
BanningDental.co.uk.
At Ocado, you'll save 25% on your first shop and get free delivery. Which means if you were to buy a four-cheese pizza, you'd basically be getting one of the cheeses for free. Save and splurge at Ocado, the online supermarket. Geographical and other restrictions. Minimum spend £60 and charges apply. New customers only. Maximum saving £20. Terms at Ocado.com.
Big motoring world are big on choice. But what does that mean for you? Well, we have thousands of cars in stock. So let's say you want a Mini, an electric one. In black, with a panoramic roof, Apple CarPlay, heated leather seats, rear view camera. Yep, there it is. Being big means we're more likely to have the right car for you. Big Motoring World, we're big on choice. See website for nearest store.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Let's come back to a conversation concerning class. Now, this is in the light of the idea put forward by a think tank that in the world of media, arts, working class people are not getting in and not getting ahead and not getting on. So working class should be a protected characteristic. But I'm not saying we're struggling. It's proving a bit elusive to try and nail down exactly what it is. See, let's talk with Lee in Brentwood. Lee, can you define it for me, working class for me? Good morning.
Yeah, morning. In my opinion, if you are working class, you effectively live hand to mouth. You have a job or maybe on benefits and don't have any assets. If you're middle class, you have maybe equity in a house, private pension, individual investments and savings that you can fall back on in times
tough
of need.
Tough times, yeah.
And if you're upper class, you have generational wealth that will pass down and cascade down through your family. So to me, it's very straightforward. And ultimately, the children, you asked someone earlier, what would their children be classed as? They'd be classed as whatever your group is, whatever your status is, because as soon as your status changes, so will theirs. And then until such time as they stand on their own two feet, again, if it's generational wealth, they will then inherit that. If it's just middle class wealth, then ultimately they'll have to make their own money in life. Otherwise, they will fall down into working class. It's a very different phenomenon from 100 years ago.
Two questions. How easy is it to protect? And question two, should it be protected?
No, of course it can't be protected because ultimately it's fluid. So, you know, if all of a sudden
unlike, say, your skin colour or whatever it might be, yeah.
Exactly. But
your sexual desire can be fluid. You know, I'm not, but I happen to be straight, and I think I'm going to be straight all my life, but you can change.
You're taking me into difficult ground. Now, I personally don't believe that. I think if you're attracted to the same sex... No. If you're attracted to the same sex, you're gay. It's impossible.
No, but you can be bisexual, can't you?
No, I think people are just confused.
Oh, really? Oh, right. Oh,
yeah.
Okay, that's a separate conversation. And so, therefore, because of its fluidity, it's impossible to protect it.
In my opinion, yeah. Lastly,
if the report is right, I wonder why working-class folk don't get on in the arts world.
Well, one, because they're not exposed to it at a young age, right? Because people don't, you know... You know, that's ultimately what it all comes down to. If you get the ability to enjoy it and aspire to be like someone, you know, that you've sort of witnessed on stage or in a band or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you've got that opportunity. But most working class people are not exposed to that because their parents are too busy putting food on the table.
Lee, thanks for your input. Sam Williams Thomas in Surrey. My father was a doctor, my mother a nurse. My family back many years ago started the Birmingham Bank. We also owned a lot of glassworks in Birmingham. I went to private school, as did my brothers. But I would say because of things that have happened, I'm now working class. My father isn't. My mother was working class, but then married my father and isn't. Sam, I hope things are all right. You sort of hint at something there. Andrew says it's excruciating listening to Sir Keir try to define working class. It's like him describing a woman. That said, the working class need protection, especially from Labour. Over 180,000 working people, actually the figure, Andrew, is 220,000 people have lost their jobs since Labour came to power, and a lot of people who want to work now can't find jobs thanks to their policies. Shame we're going to stay with that, but from one world leader, Sir Keir, to another, and to the United States, where Donald Trump finds himself under pressure, not just from a growing and angry public and populace, but also a couple of former presidents, former President Bill Clinton, saying over the course of a lifetime, we face only a few moments where the decisions we make and the actions we take will shape our history for years to come. This is one of them. Former President Barack Obama saying the appalling shooting of an innocent man. Don't brook any other argument. And this nonsense that's forward should be a wake-up call to America and Americans. But going to the old playbook, the Trump administration sought to defend the killing. Kristi Noem, the US Secretary of Homeland Security, claiming the ICE officer, unbelievably, was acting in self-defense.
An individual approached US Border Patrol officers with a 9mm semi-automatic handgun. The officers attempted to disarm this individual, but the armed suspect reacted violently.
Didn't react violently at all, unless you mean holding a mobile phone and trying to photograph things or film as violence. Now, newly surfaced video appears to dispute the claim that Alex Pretty approached the officers with a gun. Also speaking after the incident was ICE Border Patrol Commander-at-Large Gregory Bovino. He was interviewed by CNN's Dana Bash. He said the real victims were the Border Patrol agents.
The situations are chaotic and ever-changing. Follow directions for law enforcement. Don't inject yourself knowingly beforehand into a law enforcement situation.
With respect, it feels as though in some ways you're blaming the victim here.
The victims are the Border Patrol agents. I'm not blaming the Border Patrol agents. The victim are the Border Patrol agents. The suspect put himself in that situation. The victims are the Border Patrol agents there.
And with bodies lying on the streets, the war of words continues. Here's Democrat Governor for Minnesota, Tim Walz.
And you know what you saw. And then you heard the most powerful people in the world, certainly in this country, President, Vice President, Greg Bovino, Christine Ohm, narrate to you what you were looking at, that this was a domestic terrorist, crazed, running at law enforcement with the intent to kill massive numbers of them, sullying his name within minutes of this event happening, and then closing the crime scene, sweeping away the evidence, defying a court order, and not allowing anyone to look at it.
In the first hour, obviously, I asked for your take on what the events that you've probably had an opportunity now to see some video, but also what it means for the U.S. and what it means for President Trump and his ICE initiative. Here's a little of what you said, starting with Alexandra in Telford.
He thought he was jumped on by at least five ICE agents, and he was put to the ground. And next thing, he's shot. I think he was dispossessed. In what world do trained officers jump on a man? They're supposed to be trained, aren't they? And then they shoot him. They're saying that he was armed. I mean, this is all secondary.
Peter in Sterling.
I don't think we should be calling it a shooting. It is an execution. It's a summary execution by people out of control. I mean, if that was in a war zone, there would be an investigation, yes, wouldn't there? I mean, if this was any other country in the world, we wouldn't do it. We'd be sanctioning people connected to ICE, and we'd be having very strong words with their leader or their diplomatic staff about this. If this was Iran, or if this was Syria, or something like that, we would be taking action.
Ali and Slout.
The only way that the murders, executions of Alex Pressey and Renee Good, they'll go down in history as the points in either where America will change or it's going to become an Orwellian nightmare, because you effectively have a private militia hunting down people.
And this is a little of what you're saying on social media. This comes in from William, disgusted by anyone trying to defend this. This was law enforcement executing a disarmed civilian, and it is disgraceful. Same subject. Jenny says, some of the ICE agents are the boys who've been employed to carry out this job. Why should they care who they shout? Who they shout? Do you mean who they shoot? Let them stop covering their faces so we can see who they are. One last one on this. This comes from Scott. What's happening on the streets of Minneapolis and other US cities is reminiscent of what was happening in Germany in the 1930s, with Jews being seized and attacked in the streets. I think we need to calm down a little bit there. Not that I am for a moment defending it, I am not, but to liken it to what we witnessed back in Germany. Actually, that reminds me, it is, of course, Holocaust Remembrance Day tomorrow, and we'll have special coverage on that. And I think, Scott, when we remind you of the scale of that, and again, not for a moment defending the actions of those ICE agents, I am not. I don't think you can liken it to 1930s Germany. Let's talk about that. I've got a Shane I want to talk to about class, but Sean in Exeter has been hanging on to talk about the shootings. Sean, how do you call it? Good morning.
Yes, morning. Well, just on your last text, that's how things start, like, in the 19, you know, in Germany and stuff. But anyway, Nick, the chap you spoke to earlier, Barry...
So he was a Secret Service agent who was on the detail for President George W. Bush and President Clinton. Go ahead, yep.
Your eyes are older than mine, but we all saw what we saw on TV. There's no kind of look over there. We saw what we saw, didn't we?
I know.
And they are trying to pull the rug from under our eyes. It doesn't matter how they play this. What they did is they've killed two people in cold blood, a woman and a man yesterday. And yep. Don't forget, he was a nurse that saved people's lives. He saved people's lives. Mm. You've got to ask yourself this. I don't, you know, if you're not politically minded or anything like that, why the hell, what can we do? We can't do anything other than you guys putting me on the radio and seeing this at the moment. All I can say, the power is in the voters' hands in Minneapolis.
What we must do, of course, is comment on it. What we mustn't do is look the other way. That's what the media has to do, has to keep the conversation going.
We have to keep it going, don't we? But the thing is, when does it all stop? And when does, the actual... what Trump's doing at the moment, the power he has at the moment, he's going into countries, he's taking over, and at the same time, you know, this all comes down to a thing where he nearly got shot and died, unfortunately.
Yep.
You know, unfortunately, creased his ear, but, you know, he would have gone. But this,
well, let's tread carefully. Let's not wish death on another person. I understand that you have virulent anti-Trump sensibilities. I get that. and the action of these ICE agents is appalling, but I'm a little uncomfortable wishing that an elected official could be, or soon-to-be elected official, could be shot dead. I'm going to draw a line there. But, Sean, thanks for your input. Shane, it'll be your turn the other side of the news, and also after the news.
Living like a president. Since Friday, my diet's consisted of burgers, fries, washed down with Diet Coke and milkshake. I'm LBC's Henry Riley, and find out how I got on with the Trump diet.
Well, there might have been quite a lot of trumping of another sort on that diet. We'll find out with Henry Riley's report. 9:46 LBC News headlines. Dominic Ellis.
Two former US presidents have urged Americans to speak out following the shooting of a man by ICE agents in Minneapolis. A new national target for police response times in emergencies will be brought in as part of major reforms for England and Wales. And there are calls from some Labour MPs to reverse the decision to block Andy Burnham from standing in an upcoming by-election. LBC weather cloudy but largely dry for most to start today. Heavy rain and strong winds pushing into the west later, a high of 10 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Severe delays do continue on the M40 southbound from Junction 2 at Beaconsfield to the M25 junction. A car has overturned and one lane is closed. There are roadworks on the A4 eastbound at Sutton Court Road in Chiswick. These roadworks will continue now until Wednesday, and there are delays all the way back onto the M4, almost back to the Heston services. On the Marylebone flyover eastbound, a car's broken down, so that's causing queues. And also the delays continue on the trains at Gatwick Express and Southern services are severely disrupted via Thornton Heath after that investigation from earlier. And also South Eastern and Thames Link are disrupted westbound between Dartford and London Bridge.
Coming up at 10 on LBC, James O'Brien.
They murdered a nurse who looked after military veterans in broad daylight, and then they called him a terrorist. And is the Labour Party tearing itself to shreds again?
James O'Brien at 10. Listen on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app.
Money Super 7, you've been saving people serious money, but they deserve even more.
Can I count on you?
Always, boss. For a start, Money Supermarket give everyone a £15 reward just for switching their car insurance.
That's a very good start.
And that's on top of saving up to £519.
And when they keep on saving with us, we'll give them more and more rewards.
See how much you could save with Money Supermarket.
51% could save up to £519. Consumer intelligence, November 25. Rewards include gift cards, qualifying purchase with logged in account. 18 plus UK only. See site for T's and C's.
This is LBC. Listen on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app. Download it now from your app store.
Okay, do emails. Ah, burnt toast. And now I've got to sort my repeat prescription.
Or just tap the NHS app.
The one I've already got?
Yep, you can check test results, view your GP health record and request repeat prescriptions anytime, anywhere.
All while the kettle's boiling?
Before it boils. And turning on notifications means you'll know the moment you get a new message.
Mm.
We're delivering an NHS fit for the future. Never miss a message. Request repeat prescriptions and more when you tap the NHS app.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics. With over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
At Ocado, you'll save 25% on your first shop and get free delivery. Which means if you were to buy a four-cheese pizza, you'd basically be getting one of the cheeses for free. Save and splurge at Ocado, the online supermarket. Geographical and other restrictions. Minimum spend £60 and charges apply. New customers only. Maximum saving £20 terms at Ocado.com.
During the Air France Rendezvous, take advantage of great offers. Until the 27th of January, book your flight to Dubai from £399 or Hong Kong from £589, from London Heathrow via Paris, return including tax. And from the 29th of March, you can reach Paris and beyond with our new flights from London Gatwick. Elegance is a journey. Air France. To book and for terms and conditions, visit airfrance.co.uk.
You're really building that business, Josh. That's because you chose to bank with Virgin Money, earning cash back on your supplies, turning expenses into rewards on everything from Sanders to skip hire. He came, he soared, he conquered. Open Virgin Money's M account for business now. UK excludes NI, Channel Islands and Isle of Man. 18 plus. Terms and exclusions apply. Cashback rate of 0.25% backed by the current account switch service. Virgin Money is a trading name of Clydesdale Bank PLC.
This is 40-year-old Kathy.
mother of two and self-confessed telly addict.
Oh, look at you. That's brilliant. Well done.
This is also Kathy, working as part of a team to keep things calm at her local prison. Helping someone's son write his first letter home in 8 months.
Well done, you should be really proud.
Thank you, miss.
An extraordinary job, done by someone like you. Search prison jobs now.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
How to define working class and making it a protected characteristic. Shane in Edinburgh, thank you for hanging on the line. Right, start if you would, sir. How would you define working class?
You define working or class, you define it by one of two standards. You can either, from a social scientific point of view, you can either take a Marxist definition, which is now rather crude, but it's still useful. Marx looked at the economic forces of production, land, capital and labour.
This will be interesting.
And he looked at the way the forces of production worked, and very, very crudely, he deduced that there were people that worked for a wage that did not reflect the true product of their labour, so that capitalists could derive profits from their labour, and you were working class if you worked for wages. Now, even at that time, it was slightly more complex because you had things like own account workers, like shopkeepers, whom he defined as petty bourgeoisie. So from a Marxist perspective, you've got those who work for wages and those who control and own the means of production, the banks and the, and the land, and that you're at a disadvantage if you're working class. Like you, I found it pitiful to listen to Keir Starmer trying to define working class when he bangs on ad infinitum about his dad being a working class man as a toolmaker. It was pathetic. Yeah. Now, that's one way of defining it. Society, of course, is much more complex than that today, and it's often said that Weber had a dialogue with the ghost of Marx, for he produced a model that was much more sophisticated. Now, the schema that your academic from the University of Bedfordshire used, I thought was rather interesting. It's actually based on a Weberian schema. Weber argued that social class was made up of three components: class, status, and party. People that have scarce skills can band together to demand high wages, and that he called the market power of occupations. So people like the dentist, the lawyers, dare I say LBC broadcasters, can band together to demand high wages and through the market power of their occupation. Right. Status, he looked at people's statuses, which I think your academic from Bedfordshire defined it in as cultural capital. So things like, you could be a member of the House of Lords, have huge status, but be as poor as the proverbial church mouse that signs on at the House of Lords for the attendance allowance every day because you've not got a penny to your name, and you'd be bankrupt if you didn't. So that's people that have a status that derives from what they are. Right. And then he defined party, which was power and authority organised, which basically was the way in which people are organised through trade union movements, the labour movement, the Conservative Party, employers groups, etc. And the power that... Now, your academic from Bedfordshire, I'm not familiar with that French economist that she quoted, but I am going to have a look at it because it was interesting. But can I just say, very fed up with this.
It was Pierre Bourdieu, by the way.
I'm going to read it because it's interesting.
Yeah,
Can I just say, from my perspective, I grew up in a council house in Stevenage, Newtown. My mother was a lone parent. She worked as a barmaid, shop assistant, and as a hospital cleaner to put food on the table. At the moment I walked through the door of the London School of Economics, I ceased to be working class. Yet I sat there listening to a boy of about 20 whose father was some sort, and he banged on at every juncture, like Keir Starmer does, that he's working class. And do you know what I think comes out of this? The people that do this get off on it, saying, look how well I've done. I'm working class. I'm now the Prime Minister. I'm now this. I'm now that. It does my... And it shouldn't be a protected characteristic, because as one of your callers said, it's fluid, and most importantly, it's victimhood.
Shane, I've thoroughly enjoyed our conversation. I could talk to you for longer, but I wouldn't, because that's not fair to James, because I'd take his programme time. But I've thoroughly enjoyed our conversation. I look forward to speaking to you again. Now, all eyes on the United States yet again for political policy. But what of the president's actual health? You may recall these comments from their health secretary, as we were called, Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
You know, the interesting thing about the president is that
He eats really bad food, which is McDonald's and a Diet Coke. But drinks the Diet Coke all times. He has the constitution of a deity. I don't know how he's alive.
But what is it like to live on a diet such as that? Well, there was only one way to find out. LBC's Henry Riley was tasked with a presidential burger diet over the weekend.
It is Friday afternoon, and Nick has given me, I think, the best challenge yet. Fast food all weekend. So that's burgers for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And I've actually had a few pints of the black stuff by this point. So my review so far is that this is great. I can do it every weekend if needed, although I am getting slightly strange looks at how much I've ordered.
Customer number one, please.
And the fact I'm talking to myself, I suppose. This is going to be taken back home, and I'm going to enjoy it with a knife and fork, which is how the president does it. Good morning. It is Saturday. I have my LBC show later. I'm going to go and do a food shop. I am struggling without the morning coffee. Diet Cola hasn't really exactly hit the spots, but I have got my chocolate milkshake to look forward to. And I'm back. It is the same order again. I did ask for the Trump. They didn't know what that meant, which is fair enough. So I've got my fish burger, quarter pounder, Big Mac, and fries. I'm not as enthusiastic today. I thought I was going to be happier to see this, but I am quite hungry. So I'm going to sit in the restaurant and enjoy this rather than on Air Force One. Okay, it is Sunday morning, and I need vegetables. Send broccoli. I'm reminiscing about those Brussels sprouts I left languishing on my Christmas dinner plate. What I'd do to see those bad boys again. I've got no idea how Donald Trump does this. I'm going to delve into some cheese-flavoured crisps, the only other thing I'm allowed to eat, as the president recommends. You could say it's nacho-typical Sunday morning fry-up. Sorry about that.
Four. Yeah. That's me.
Okay, I've presented another LBC show. It is now 7 p.m. and this is going to be my last day on the Trump diet.
So the Donald Trump order. That's what Donald Trump orders.
Okay.
It is
genuine. Yeah, he's a lot of junk
food
that I know.
Have a nice day. You too.
The burger diet for President Trump. We'll do blood pressure readings on Henry Riley reporting. Now, tomorrow's morning show, your opportunity to put your questions to this senior cabinet minister.
The reforms that we are making are actually about having a model for policing in this country that is able to keep pace with the changing nature of crime. And the changes that I'm bringing forward are not designed to put different bits of the system in competition with one another, but to actually complement each other.
That is Home Secretary Shabana Mahmood. She's going to be in the news as she outlines changes to the police, but so many other things, the housing of asylum seekers, the small boats crisis. Get your questions in now. Email nf@lbc.co.uk. That's using NF as in my initials at lbc.co.uk. Shabana Mahmood tomorrow. That's it for today. James O'Brien's waiting the other side of the news, of course. I'll be back with you tomorrow morning from 7. Meantime, stay safe.
Thank you, Nick. The time is approaching 10 o'clock, and somebody sent me a little compilation this weekend of people in British politics and media using that dread phrase, Trump derangement syndrome, as a pejorative. And the remarkable thing was they were all in favour of Brexit. They were all fans of Boris Johnson. They were all cheerleaders now for Nigel Farage. They've all been part of the demonising of refugees and the general othering of people born overseas. And they're all, once again, categorically and completely wrong about the threat that the President of the United States posed to democracy, decency. You can add whatever words you want there. So as the fascist project gathers pace and the murder of civilians becomes ever more commonplace, what the hell do we do?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock, President Trump says his administration is reviewing everything connected to the killing of Alex Preti in Minneapolis. The 37-year-old was shot and killed by federal immigration agents on Saturday. Border officials insist they acted in self-defense, but local authorities question the threat he posed. Thousands of people have marched through Minneapolis overnight. These people say they've had enough.
I'm feeling anger. I'm feeling tired. I'm feeling unsafe. And I'm feeling confused because it's all so senseless. Mm-hmm. It's all so senseless.
How much is enough? Mm-hmm. How many more people have to die?
The Home Secretary, Shabana Mahmood, is to promise to make police respond quicker to 999 calls. Forces will be required to respond to emergencies within 20 minutes in England and Wales. It's part of a wider overhaul to policing, which will be outlined this afternoon. Cabinet ministers have been defending the move to block Andy Burnham from standing in an upcoming by-election. He was stopped on the basis of an expensive race to replace him, potentially, as mayor of Greater Manchester. Loyalists, too, Sir Keir Starmer, feared that Mr Burnham could have mounted a leadership challenge if he won and became an MP. But the Scottish Secretary, Douglas Alexander, has told LBC the party's ruling body acted in Labour's interest.
Let's have a thought experiment for a minute. Let's consider that the National Executive Committee yesterday decided to greenlight the equivalent of 20 parliamentary by-elections. I think it's a fair judgment to say the coming weeks would have been consumed by a huge amount of coverage about who's up, who's down, who's in, who's out. That, frankly, is not in the interest of the Labour Party, and I would argue the better interests of the country are served in recognising the scale of the choice we've got in 101 days' time in those critical elections.
The Education Secretary has written to headteachers in England saying that all schools should be mobile phone free. Bridget Phillipson says it's not appropriate for phones to be used as calculators or for research during lessons. It's understood that Ofsted will inspect schools on the implementation of their mobile phone policies. The UK and nine other countries are joining forces to provide a new generation of wind farms in the North Sea. For the first time, turbines will provide energy for more than one country using undersea cables. They'll be capable of producing enough power for tens of millions of homes in the UK. In the city a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading down three at 10,139. The pound buys $1.36 and €1.15. LBC weather, cloudy but largely dry for most to start the day. Heavy rain and strong winds will push into the west later. A high of 10 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
That there is a great night's sleep. And when Susan wakes up, she's going to get to enjoy a delicious unlimited breakfast. Or, if that super comfy bed is just too hard to leave, Susan can enjoy a midday checkout. Get better sleep for your money. Book now at Premier Inn. Breakfast subject to availability. T's and C's apply.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with James O'Brien.
It is 4 minutes after ten, and it is hard to know where to start. This might sound a little flippant, given the gravity of the situation, but imagine if you were charged with concocting a story or an event that was designed to discover whether or not there was any point at which somebody would detach themselves from a fascist project, from a fascist administration. I mean, if you actually had to come up with the details... Tragically, the murder of Renee Nicole Good was not enough, because I think it was... And remember, we're trying to get into the minds of people who have been sympathetic so far to the fascism. And Renee Nicole Good was married to a woman. I think she had dyed hair. She described herself as a poet. Forgive me for putting it like that. She was a poet. But the fact that she described herself as a poet allowed people to snigger and sneer. And so when she was murdered by a member of ICE, it kind of lent itself to both sidesism in a way that was as tragic as it was predictable. You couldn't watch that footage, of course, and conclude that any threat, any peril whatsoever was motivating the behaviour of the man who murdered her. But you could watch that footage and find just enough to cling on to publicly pretend that you believed that. So you'll remember, we sat here and we said, oh well, the party told you to ignore the evidence of your eyes and ears. It was their final, most terrible command. And we watched it happen in real time. We watched and listened to people pretending that they could not see what we could see, that they could not see what they could see, and that they could somehow cobble together a case for self-defense or provocation or whatever it may be. And there was just enough for the people thus far sympathetic to or warm towards the fascism, the racism, the misogyny, the climate change denial, whichever it was, whatever part of that holy trinity it was that most appealed to somebody who wouldn't come out and describe horrors as horrors. There was just enough for them to pretend, wasn't there? Just enough for them to sort of set. And I'm talking about people right up to the top of the United, up to and including the president of the United States of America. And you need to bear that in mind, because the questions that we're going to ask this morning are not as easy to answer as you might originally think, for the very simple reason that this goes all the way to the very top of the White House. And then you come to the events of this weekend. You come to the murder in cold blood and broad daylight of a man who was doing absolutely nothing wrong, except trying to protect a woman who was being brutalised by ICE agents. And what I meant earlier, when I suggested that you could concoct a story designed to find out whether or not people really would put up with anything, whether people really would look the other way when the worst and most undeniable atrocities were unfolding under their noses, you'd struggle to do better than the case of Alex Pretty, 37-year-old, and an intensive care unit nurse. I know this shouldn't matter, but it does. That's the nature of the species. That's what we do. An intensive care unit nurse who worked specifically and exclusively with military veterans. There are hospitals in the United States of America that are dedicated to veterans. They're VA hospitals, Veterans Affairs. And it is a kind of way that you sidestep the fact that they haven't got an NHS, in that if you have done military service, you kind of get looked after health-wise in ways that other members of the population don't. And that was his job. That was his job. Working in a Veterans Affairs hospital's intensive care unit, providing in some cases end-of-life care to people who had been prepared to make the ultimate sacrifice in the service of the United States of America. They murdered an intensive care nurse who worked exclusively with military veterans and I think some of their dependents in broad daylight, and then they called him a terrorist. I mean, you know, how many times have I said to you in the last month, year, that we have to have a hyperbole alarm in the back of our heads, and you have this normality bias as well.